Blog Talk Radio.
And gladness, cause the Lamb will.
We are. Until my heart, until I Okay, I got Jeff. I'm going to bring Jeff up. Kevin J. I just brought you up, Jeff. Kevin J. Make sure you raise your hand so I can bring you up. Okay. Gideon already gone.
Have you seen Sam Shimon and God Logic talking about Brother Jaws? Nah, I have a flip phone now, so I don't see nothing anymore.
I am here.
But I'll tell you, God Logic and Sam Shimon.
God Logic and Sam Shimon talking about who?
So, I mean, I can't verify, you know, I'd have to see a video, but someone said they're talking about you, but
cool.
I can't verify.
Cool. I've heard of both. You know, I've heard of Sam Shimon. I've heard of God Logic before, too. Can't really place my memory on like, what he looked like, but I've heard of him before. He's pretty well-known, too. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing on TikTok. They've been doing tag teams going against Muslims on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do you guys think is the Matt Hardy and who do you think is Jeff Hardy whenever they do tag teams?
Hold up. What time in wrestling era are you talking about? Because there was a time in wrestling era where Jeff Hardy had Matt Hardy blown by a country mile. So.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I'm not saying in what time. I'm just saying who do you think is Matt Hardy and who do you think is Jeff Hardy? I'll just say who's who.
Well, who do you think is the lead man? Whoever you think is the lead man. At whatever time in history.
I like Matt Hardy.
Yeah, at whatever time. Broken Matt Hardy.
I mean, personally, I would take Matt Hardy over Jeff Hardy. I know that's
me too.
Probably controversial, but I like Matt Hardy more.
Me too.
Especially after what Lita did to him. Jeff was cooler, I have to admit that.
Jeff Hardy. And speaking of Jeff, are you on there? Can you hear me? Jeff, get a mic check from Jeff.
Honestly, brother.
You sound a little low, just a little bit, than you usually do. Can you turn your volume up? There it is. That's it. Just like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what you did, but it hooked it up. And Kevin J. Right. You there?
I am here. Shabbat shalom. Can y'all hear me? Mic check.
Yeah, you loud and clear. And let me tell you something, Gideon. Everything technical was messing with me today. I was ready to go.
Really?
Yep. It was telling me my call couldn't work without Wi-Fi. I don't know what that was about. And then when I tried to use the Wi-Fi connection, it's off emergency calls only. Had to turn my phone off, turn it back on. Blog Talk was tripping. Clubhouse was tripping. They'll tell you on Clubhouse, that's why they know I closed the room. I had to open it back up, and I had to delete one of the Blog Talks because everything was tripping. I tell you, man, every time around the holy day, that's when Satan start coming at us the most. I tell people that all the time.
They don't want you to get this one out.
Well, you know, the Lord's will has always been more powerful than Satan's will. How everybody doing in this chat today? Are we on YouTube? Are we on Rumble?
We are on YouTube, not Rumble, but YouTube.
Yeah, we don't put Rumble up for adoption. They orphans now. I see how he did, right? We're going to go ahead and get started, right? Gideon, I don't know if you can still hear me. I'm about to put you on mute on my end, okay? You got the headphones on? Let me go ahead and do that. Okay, y'all, we're about to do this. Clubhouse, we still good? One last check, we good?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. All right. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today, reading for me is one of my all-time favorite readers. He is an Absolute Bible Truth University graduate and a day one-ish member of Absolute Bible Truth. He is also, just to throw that out there, a jiu-jitsu practitioner. This is the one, the only, Jeff. Brother Jeff. Go ahead, bro.
Peace, Brother Josh. And once again, again. Thanks for that introduction. Thanks for letting me read today. And also, peace to the elders, teachers, and students at ABT on Discord, YouTube, and Clubhouse. Glad to be here.
Praise God. Brother Jeff, praise God. And, of course, you know, we appreciate you reading for us today and any and all input that you may have. And also joining us today is another Absolute Bible Truth University graduate and one of my all-time favorite readers. And he's also been at Absolute Bible Truth studying with us for a number of years. And he's just an all-around decent brother, just a good spirit. This is Kevin J., Brother Kevin J. Go ahead, bro.
Shabbat Shalom, ABT family. The good brother Jeff, the voice of power is reading. I love it. Thank you for also allowing me to take part. Hello to everybody on Discord, YouTube. God bless everyone. And, hey, again, another great title. Can't wait for us to get into it, brother Josh.
Praise God, praise God. And your enthusiasm is always most infectious. It gets me pumped to bring this word. And I also look forward to any and all commentary that you may have. And just like you said, this is going to be one. But before we get started, once again, Shabbat Shalom. Hello to everybody tuning in with us today. If this is your first time tuning in with us, we welcome you. We hope you enjoy today's lesson and continue to study with us in the near future. But got to lay a few ground rules for the newbies. This is our Sabbath study, our Bible study, meaning this is a sermon. What that means for you, the listening audience in the chat, whether it be on YouTube, Clubhouse, or Discord, is that if you have any questions or comments about today's study or anything in general, simply hold them until the study is over. When I'm teaching, the only thing I want to see in the chat being said is amen. That's all I want to see. And how you doing? That's all I want to see, just like you do in church. When a lot of y'all go to church tomorrow, you're not going to be standing up in the middle of the sermon trying to do your own lessons. You're not going to be arguing back and forth with people in the pews. You're going to sit there, and you're going to listen, and you're going to support what's being taught. And then when the study is over, I don't know how y'all do it at y'all church, but I'm assuming that once it's over, you can go ask the pastor or deacon any questions you want. And that's how we wanted to be here. If you cannot abide by these simple rules, then one of my mods will simply mute you. And depending on what you do, you will be muted for quite a bit. Well, you can sit there and behave quietly, or you can just turn around and leave. Either way, okay with Brother Josh. Right? Also, none of this back and forth stuff in the chat. If you got something to say to somebody, DM them. If you got something to say to me, DM me, but I'm not going to read it or look at it until after the study is over. So if you got a question that just can't wait until the class is over, you can DM me. But don't DM me complaining about somebody don't block you or kick you out, because I ain't trying to hear that. That's not my department. You know what I mean? I'm not the Department of Corrections, because that's y'all be hitting me up every time I turn around, somebody hitting me up saying somebody don't ban them, or they complaining to me, or they cursing me out in my DM. And I ain't even the one that did it. But y'all know the rules. So, without any further ado, the title of today's class is Forward, Not Backsliding. Again, today's class is titled Forward, Not Backsliding. And I decided to do this class for a number of reasons. One reason being that, you know, Gideon and myself were talking about this. And this is a topic that he said he's interested in because he's all about trying to stay focused. And I can't do nothing but admire that and grant their request. But don't get it twisted. Long before Gideon asked about this lesson, y'all were blowing up my DMs. I still got people blowing up my DMs asking me about what should they do because they keep falling back into sin. In fact, that's what backsliding means. See, when the Bible talks about sliding, it don't mean like ice skating. It means like ice skating and falling down. So when the Bible talks about backsliding, it really means slipping, sliding, and falling down. You're backsliding back into sin. back into your old ways. That's what you're doing. And when I see people in my DM saying, how do I avoid keep going back into sins? I find myself keep going back into the same sins. Well, we're going to address that today. Because one of the main reasons why a lot of y'all keep backsliding is because you literally keep looking back. See, you cannot forward looking back. That's just common sense. If you try to move forward looking back, now you're walking backwards. So you fail backwards, right? And the Bible has much to say about this particular topic. But when y'all in my DM, I'm not putting anybody on blast, and I'm not trying to, you know, make anybody feel bad about struggling with anything. But when you jump in my DM and you keep saying, I keep finding myself doing the same thing, some of y'all even use the word backsliding. Well, you got to ask yourself, well, what direction are you walking in? What direction are you even facing? Because you cannot tell me you keep backsliding if you're facing or walking in the right direction. See, a lot of people think backsliding means facing the right direction, but just moving backwards. No, when the Bible talks about backsliding, it also means that you turn. You do an about face. You do a 180, and then you slide in that direction. And I did a class a long time ago, and I was telling people a lot of y'all have Lot's wife syndrome. Who was Lot's wife? Remember when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? He told them, don't look back. Sodom and Gomorrah was such a sinful place that they became the standard for wickedness. Like if your city or your town became wicked, God would call it Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, Israel became so wicked that he began calling them Sodom and Gomorrah. God did. Right? So he told them not to look back because their place was so wicked, he did not even want them to look back and even think about how wicked that place used to be. And Lot's wife didn't listen, and when she looked back, she turned to a pillar of salt. She was paralyzed and turned to a pillar or a statue made out of salt. Now, what the salt represents, I don't know. But what it showed us is that when she looked back, she stopped moving forward. He literally froze her in place. God did this to her. You can't move. And that's the problem with a lot of us. Y'all keep looking back and wondering why you're backsliding. It's really simple. If you keep looking back, you're going to go back. It's like when you break up with somebody, right? Once you break up with them, you're supposed to be broken up with them. But if you act like you can't get over them, you keep calling them back. Eventually, that person's going to be like, he must want me back. And that's how it is with a lot of y'all. You got your hand up, Gideon? Hold on one second. You want me to go ahead?
Kind of reminded me of like those action movies where like it'll be the guy that's with the protagonist of the whole movie and he betrays them and then he's working with the enemy and then he starts looking back at the protagonist and everything and then he ends up going back and saving them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like thinking about that. He like he tries to look away but he keeps on looking back and that's what makes him go back to his comrades or whatever.
I seen the movie one time where the guy went back. And he died, but the people he went back for, he saved them.
Yeah.
See, we don't want that. See, the thing about it is, God don't go back to save people who want to stay in sin. Because that's what a lot of people want you to do. They see you moving on with your life, and they be like, well, I kind of want to do what you're doing, but I need you around me to help me get to where you are. To help me move forward with you. No. This is how it goes. If this is you moving forward and they're saying to you, yo, I need to get where you are, then this is what you do. You catch up with me and then we move forward together. You catch up with me, we move forward together. But you don't do this. You don't go back and then try to bring them forward. You don't do that. You do not do that. You follow what I'm saying? And what we need to understand is When you backsliding, that's exactly what you're doing. See, all backsliding, and I want y'all to write this down, all of y'all who are taking notes, Keanu, I want y'all to write this down. It's the most important thing in the lesson, and I'm saying it at the beginning. You don't slide back without looking back first. That's the only way you backslide. You look back first. That's the only way you can backslide. You look back first. It all starts like that. People say, I got a porn addiction, Josh. I went a whole certain amount of months without looking at it. So how did you end up looking at it again? You went back on Pornhub, right? And you looked. And then you backslid. It all starts with you looking back. Or if you want to get deeper with it, thinking back. Because I'll think back on stuff too. And before you know it, you're right back on it. So we're going to get this started first at Proverbs chapter 4.
Father Josh.
Yes.
Expecting me to say, can you bring him up on the stage?
Ooh, I'm breaking up on the stage on Clubhouse?
No. Expected me to say, can you bring him up on Discord to share the scriptures?
Oh, okay, yeah. Let me see if he got his hand up. There he is. I almost forgot about my official sidekick. Thanks for that reminder, Keanu. So we're going to start this off at Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to read two verses, 25 and 26. And this tells you right here in Proverbs how we're supposed to be focused, where our eyes are supposed to be. We're going to read it here, and then we're going to read it in other translations. This is Proverbs chapter 4. Verses 25 and 26. When you get there, Jeff, read, please, bro.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you.
Okay. What translation are you reading, by the way?
It's the King James. It should. Yeah, no, sorry, New King James. I'm sorry.
Right.
Let me get back. Okay. Let me read that again.
You already read it. I'll repeat it. This is what it says. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Read how it reads in the New King James again.
Because
look what this is saying we're supposed to be doing.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Let your eyelids look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you.
Now, what is this telling us to do, Jeff, when we're doing what we do? What are we supposed to be doing?
Keep our heads straight ahead.
Looking straight ahead. Did it say to the left?
No, sir.
Did it say to the right?
No, sir.
And it definitely did not say backwards, did it?
No, sir.
See, look what this is telling you. It says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before you. I'm going to let y'all see how this reads in the other translation. Read verse 26, because there's something else involved in this, too. Go ahead.
Verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established.
Look what it says. Ponder, which means think about, the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. That means your feet are in secure footing. But I'm going to prove that to y'all. We're going to read the same thing. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 4, 25 and 26. And look how it reads in the ERV. That's the easy to read version. Check this out, Jeff. Proverbs chapter 4, 25 and 26. And it says, keep your eyes on the path and look straight ahead. Verse 26, make sure you are going the right way and nothing will make you fall. That's pretty direct, isn't it? It's like keep your eyes on the path, the right path, and look straight ahead. See, the problem with a lot of y'all who keep jumping in my DMs and telling me that y'all keep backsliding is because y'all keep looking back. You're not keeping your eyes straight ahead. You're not looking focused. Watch what Usher says. Read verse 27, and I'm going to read another translation. Read verse 27 in the King James, yeah? Read that, please.
Verse 4 and 27. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
So that means that don't turn to the right. Don't be looking this way. Don't turn to the left. Don't be looking that way. It's how we're supposed to be in this walk. But why did he tell us not to turn to the left or to the right? What does that mean? You're not focused. See, a lot of us, we're worried about what everybody else is doing. See, you're looking to the left. You're looking to the right. You're worried about what everybody else is doing. You're supposed to be like this. And the reason why I know that's going on is because all of these videos where Christians are talking about each other in a negative way and attacking each other. You're worried about somebody else. How do you know what I'm doing over here or what Sam Simone is doing over there or what Geno Genius is doing over there, you know, in a negative way now? You know how you know? Because you're not looking straight ahead. See, right off the bat, we're being told how we're supposed to be doing this, and we can't do this. You're getting distracted, in other words. That's what it means when you're looking to the left or turning to the left or turning to the right. You're getting distracted. You're supposed to have focus, laser focus when you're in this walk. See, that's the way I am. That's why I'm not worried about what they're doing over there. Because I don't know what's going on half of the time. You know why? Because this is where Josh is all the time, just like this. The reason why y'all know what's going on all the time with everybody else is because you're turning to the left and you're turning to the right. And he said, if you don't do that, he says in verse 26, ponder the path of your feet, and let all thy ways be established. Now we're going to jump right back to the other translation. And we're going to read the same thing, and we're going to read it in the GW, that also means God's Word. Proverbs 4, 25 and 26 and 27. Look what it says. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your sight be focused in front of you. I like the way that one reads, Jeff. It means the same thing. He said, let your sight be focused in front of you. Verse 26. Carefully walk a straight path, and all your ways will be secure. When it says your ways, that means your path is going to be secure. It means you're going to have sure footing. Sure footing means you won't step anywhere that will make you slip or fall. Verse 27. Do not lean to the right or to the left. Walk away from evil. Or as it says in the King James, remove your foot from evil. Why is it talking about your foot? Because metaphorically speaking, if you turn to the left or turn to the right, your footing is no longer secure. And you're going to slip and you're going to fall. But it all starts with you focusing on what's in front of you. And a lot of you, sadly, are just not focused. You're too concerned about what the next man is doing. It's like when you're in school and the teacher gives you a test, what are your eyes supposed to be, Jeff? Straight focused down on your paper. What will happen, Jeff, if you're taking a test in school and the teacher see you looking like this while you're supposed to be taking your test or looking like this? What's the teacher going to think you're doing?
You're cheating and you're not focused.
You're cheating or you're not focused. And see, this is why I try to tell people, I don't worry about what these clowns are talking about. A lot of people are nothing but living distractions anyway. They're just here to distract. They see you walking on that straight path, and they come in on the side. And they try to say, hey, why don't you go in this direction? Or, hey, why don't you go in that direction? They don't want you to stay on that focus straight ahead. Have y'all ever noticed in the military when people stand at attention, where are their eyes staring at, Jeff?
Forward.
Forward, straight ahead. Have you ever seen somebody stand in a picture like this, y'all? Attention. And they're looking like up into the corner. No, we don't do that. When they stand in a picture, they're looking straight ahead, almost through you.
If they do the drill instructions, don't put them on blast.
He don't put them on blast. And that's how you're supposed to be. That's the first step to not backsliding. And that's the problem. Y'all keep jumping in my DM saying, I keep backsliding, God, yeah, because you keep looking back. That's why you keep backsliding. It's really that simple. Nobody backslides without looking back first. That's the way it goes. So the problem is you. And the problem is you can't, you know, just set your neck to be focused just like this. That's the problem. When you're focused ahead of you, the sad truth is, y'all, you're going to leave some people behind. That's just the way that goes. When you're always looking forward, you're going to leave a lot of people behind because a lot of people can't look ahead like y'all. And you're going to leave some people because they're going to be stuck looking backwards. That's what they're going to do. But now, let's move on. Let's go to Psalm 26. That's why this class is titled Forward, Not Backsliding. And that means in everything, your conversation, who you hang around, all of that. Stop looking back. Stop being distracted. Stop looking to the left. Stop looking to the right. Look ahead. And it says, ponder your path. That means think about the path you're on. That means you're looking at it too. You're looking ahead of you. Just because you're looking ahead of you don't mean you won't ever fall. Because, you know, you got stuff in front of you that you need to be looking ahead to make sure that you don't trip. That's why even in today's slang, when somebody going crazy, what we say, man, you tripping. Why do y'all think we say that? What does tripping have to do with going crazy? Because we say stuff like this, we use words like this, we don't even think about it, man, you tripping. That means you about to fall or about to fall off. There's nothing we say, man, he don't fell off. We use all these terms like this, not even understanding that metaphorically we're saying the same thing. You don't fell off, bro. You don't backslid. That's the whole terminology that we use. We need to understand what we're saying. Because what I've learned more than anything else, y'all, is that we say a lot of stuff and we don't even know what we're saying. We don't really analyze what that means. You know? We really don't. But this is Psalm chapter 26. Let me get with you. And we're going to read verses 9 to 12. Psalm 26, verses 9 to 12. When you get there, Jeff, read, please.
Psalm chapter 26, verse 9. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men.
Now, this is David praying. He's asking God not to gather his soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. In other words, don't destroy me alone with sinners. Don't cut me off with the wicked. That's what he's asking God to not do. Don't cut me off with them. Read the next verse.
Verse 10, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribe.
In whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribe. They're always trying to bribe somebody, trying to pay somebody off. But continue, please.
11, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in the even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord.
Now look what David said right here. He said, my foot, after saying that he walked in his integrity, he said, my foot stands in an even place. in the congregation where I bless the Lord. Jeff, what do you think he meant when he said my foot stands in an even place?
His feet are planted, he's standing firm.
Yes, that's what it means. But what do you think it means when he says in even place? What do you think that means, Gideon?
Even place, like, it's like a set path, like it's not rocky, it's smooth, like it's...
Close, but let me show y'all. Close. Both of y'all are right. If you broke that down and told somebody that, you would be correct. But I get super technical. So I'm going to give y'all what is technically, which it still means the same thing what both of y'all said, right? What we're going to do is we're going to read the same thing, and you can look this up in the Hebrew to verify that that's what that means in the Hebrew, but I'm just going to get to y'all in another translation. This is Psalm 26 and 12, and look what it says in the...
Here, me... Get on tools, verse 12.
What'd you say?
11. Scroll down. Yeah. Okay. Scroll down.
Mm-hmm. And go to the GW.
Go to, you want to bring the Hebrew?
No. Just the translation.
Okay. Go to the, up to the top, go to the KJV, and see if you see GW.
It might not
they
be.
Probably don't got GW.
Yeah, they probably don't got that. But tell them to go on. Tell them to go on the Hebrew then. Tell them to go on the Hebrew then, and look up the word.
Go back to 12.
And the word even.
On verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Go to there. You go.
And hold it right there. But don't read it yet. Hold it right there. Now this is what it says in the GW or God's Word, Psalm 26 and 12. It says, "My feet stand on level ground. I will praise the Lord with the choirs in worship." Now, what is a level ground? Y'all know what it means when it says something is level?
Even.
It's flat, it's even, but this is what level means. Y'all see this bottle? This is level. Not level would be this or that. He's saying the ground is level. Why is this important? Because what happens, Gideon, if you were walking up a hill, and as you're walking up the hill, it started doing this and this and this, what would you eventually do, Gideon?
Start falling down.
You'll start falling back. Or you'll start sliding back. Y'all ever seen on TV or ever went on the hike, and it started getting real steep on the hike, and then you're practically crawling, and then you start sliding back down the hill? Any one of y'all in the chat or on Clubhouse ever did that before? Like climbing or going hiking, when it's no longer level, if you try to climb up, you're going to slide back. So when David said, "I am on level ground," that means I'm not going to fall because it's just a flat surface. It's level. It's not doing like this, because if you do like this, if the hill starts to do this, you'll slide down the hill. If the hill does this, you'll slide down. He said it's level. That's what he said. He's standing on level ground. That's his path. He said, that's the path I'm on. I'm not on a path that got me climbing up a steep hill or a path that got me going down a steep hill. That's how you fall. See, that's what we be wanting to do. We want the challenge. Oh, I want to climb up. Why? So you can risk falling or slipping back down. No, Brother Josh, I want that level path. I want that straight, level path. I don't want to stumble. See, when you're on your path to avoid backsliding, you got to take the path that's the most level. And y'all wonder why you're backsliding and falling down and tumbling down, because you are trying to walk down a steep hill or walk up a steep hill. That's what you're trying to do. See, when you start applying this stuff to simple logic and physics in real life, it makes all the sense in the world. No climbing gear, Gideon. Let's say you go on a hike. And as we go on the hike, and there are plenty of trails in Georgia, I can take you on, where it just gets steep as the trail go on, and I guarantee you, without any climbing gear or something like that, Gideon, I'm like, Gideon, keep walking. Jeff, keep walking. You're going to be doing like this, and then you're going to slide back down right on your belly. And if you get enough momentum, you're going to fall backwards. That's why David said, my foot standeth in an even place. It stands on level ground. The more level the ground is, y'all, the less likely you are to trip and fall or slide and stumble. That's common sense. So another reason why a lot of y'all backslide is not just because you're looking back. It's because you're taking a steep trail. You're choosing a steep trail.
Like falling God isn't hard or tedious or anything. But if you make things harder on yourself, then it could be hard, right?
Yep. Y'all taking a steep trail. See, the Bible always talks about the path. When you read in the King James and it says, like, the way of a man, that Hebrew word means path. Or road, or trail. That's what that Hebrew word actually means. So in the English, even in the English, if you look up the word way, it sometimes means path. So when you tell somebody they need to change their ways, what you're really saying is they need to change their path or the direction they're going. Everything's about direction to the Hebrews. Like what direction? That's how they looked at the world. They viewed the world as, which direction are you going in? And a lot of us are choosing the wrong path. We're choosing the ones that's going to make us stumble. But let me show you something else to show you that David understood this. Right? Still in the book of Psalms, let's go to chapter 40. See, that's the real problem when you just really get down to everything. The problem is you keep backsliding because you keep looking back. Or you're backsliding because you're taking a steep trail that makes you slide. That means you're on the wrong path. So what's the solution? If you were in real life, Jeff, Kevin J., Meat, if you were in real life and you were trying to get to a destination without being injured and without being late or without killing yourself by breaking your neck, and you had two trails, one trail twisted and steep, rocky, and the other one is a straight level, you just go straight there. Which one would you choose? Just being logical. Jeff, me, Kevin J.,
straight,
Leon?
Straight one. Straight.
The straight one. The straight one. That's what you would do. But when it comes to this walk, spiritual walk, everybody want to take the steep trail, or everybody want to look back from where they came. And they're wondering why they cannot stop backsliding. Why can't I stop backsliding? Stop looking back. Stay focused. A lot of y'all are too distracted. And guess what one of the number one distractions is? The internet, social media.
That's right.
That is one of the number one distractions. That's what got y'all looking to the left and looking to the right and looking backwards. Social media. Back in the day when I was coming up, we had social media, but it wasn't as advanced as this one. But back in the day when I was coming up, we hardly knew what was going on in somebody else's church with another pastor. We didn't know. You had to go out in the public places and get to talking. Nowadays, we're so distracted by what everybody is doing somewhere else, we can't stay focused. A lot of y'all can't even focus on the sermon we're having. That's how distracted y'all are. Y'all some ADD candidates. Y'all grown up with ADD, and I'm not making fun of anybody with that condition. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a real condition. But people will come in here, and they'll be listening for 2 minutes, and they'll ask a question about something that don't even got anything to do with what we're talking about. Focus. That's the whole point. You can't stay focused long enough. I don't always be staring at the chat, but sometimes every now and then, like in between us going to scripture jump, I look in the chat and I see people talking about something completely off the wall. I'm like, how did y'all get on there? How did y'all do that? If you can't even focus in a Bible study on what's being discussed, how are you going to focus in the real world? This is the place you're really supposed to be the most focused at when you're trying to learn about God. This is what it's really supposed to be all about him. See, God can kind of give you a pass in your everyday life because you're dealing with going to work, going to school, dealing with your friends, dealing with your children, dealing with your parents. See, God can kind of be like, okay, I understand his attention being a little divided there, but you come to the sermon and you can't even focus on God. You a walking backslider. You moonwalking. You know you about to fall. And that's why I make a big deal about stuff. See, people, they see me do stuff, Gideon, and they like, man, he tripping, he yelling, he crunk. Right? But then when I show y'all in the scriptures how important that is, then y'all understand. And a lot of y'all are very much distracted. That's why you keep backsliding. You don't know how to stay focused and look straight ahead. You don't know how to do that. But Meek, did you got that word? By the way, I didn't forget about, what's that word that was in there? Let me see. That word even. You clicked out of that? Don't worry about it then. We'll come back to it. Yeah, because he's trying to keep up with the scripts. Appreciate that, by the way. But now, we're in Psalm 40, 1 and 2. Watch what David says right here. Go ahead and read.
Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. To the chief musician, a song of David.
Mm-hmm.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry.
Mm-hmm.
He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And establish my goings.
Look what David said. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Meaning he made my goings secure. But what did he set David's feet on, Jeff?
A rock.
A rock. What is that? A strong foundation. A place where you have secure footing. That's why when you go to the New Testament, it says Christ is that chief cornerstone or that rock. That's our foundation. That's our foundation. So if I see you talking about I keep backsliding, that also tells me you're not standing on Christ. And see, a rock, right? And when David said a rock, y'all got to understand, when they said rock back then, they didn't mean little tiny pebbles. They meant boulders. Boulders like the sizes of cliffs sometimes. You can look it up in the Hebrew. It even tells you that one of the definitions is a cliff. Something unshakable. Something that's not going to move. He said, he set my feet on a rock and established my goings. Let me show you how this reads. This is Psalm chapter 40. So I want y'all to make sure that this is what this stuff is saying. This is not my private interpretation. This is how it reads in the ERV. Listen to this, y'all. Psalm 40, 1 and 2. To the director, a song of David. I called to the Lord, and he heard me. He heard my cries. He lifted me out of the grave. He lifted me from that muddy place. He picked me up, put me on solid ground, and kept my feet from slipping. Did you notice, Jeff, how it said he kept his feet from slipping when he put him on solid ground? See, we want solid ground, and we want the ground to be level. If the ground is solid, that means if you step on it, there are no holes in it. You follow what I'm saying? Because, you know, if you're walking and you step into a hole, it ain't got to be that deep. But if you just step in a hole big enough for one of your feet, that can make you trip and stumble. I know people who dislocated a knee on a construction site because that happened. And they definitely fail. You dislocate a knee, you falling. Right? Even the ERV lets you know solid ground. See, a lot of us are not on solid ground. We keep getting off the path where the ground is not solid. Solid means flat, level. No bumps or rocks or logs for you to trip on. That does not mean that they're not in the trail. That's why I told you to look ahead. So when you see it, you step around it. You step over it. But you want God to have you on that solid ground in your walk, in your belief system, in your religion. And a lot of religions, a lot of denominations are not on solid ground. That's why Jesus told you to build on him. Build your house on that rock, not on that sand. You follow what I'm saying? That's the reason why a lot of people are backsliding. Because you're looking back. You're looking back at your old self. When you come up out of those baptismal waters, you're supposed to be looking back. People don't even understand. I told them at the last baptism that I did. When I baptized them, I said, because you know, a lot of people, and it's understandable, especially the ladies, they got apprehensions about, you know, being taken back underwater because, you know, they'd be scared about the water getting up their nose, or if you're going to make a mistake and hold them down too long. I mean, we're in 3 feet of water. Even if we let you go, you can just stand up. But, you know, some women are just like that, right? But in a spiritual sense, guess what? A part of you is supposed to drown in that baptism. See, when we put you in that water, your old sinful self is supposed to drown, be dead, and the new you comes up out of there. And Paul talked about that. That's why Paul said, you know, we're buried with him in baptism, buried with Jesus in baptism. That means a part of you died. And I find it kind of odd that baptism involves you being taken underwater, and metaphorically, it's talking about you dying. How do you die as being related to water and going under it? You drown. That's how you die underwater. You drown. So when you're getting baptized, yes, we're drowning the old you. And the new you comes up. But see, here's the problem, though, y'all. A lot of y'all remember the old Jason movies? You know, they kill Jason in the lake. Then they come back, and Jason comes right back off the lake. So y'all keep going back to the lake and resurrecting that old sinful you because you keep going back. And that's why we got these sequels. If y'all notice in the old Jason movies, Jason never comes back until somebody starts messing with him and bring him back. They go back and bring back that old killer. I think these movies know what they be doing. Same thing with Freddy. A lot of these villains in these horror movies, they be dead, dead, and we bring them back. Think of a move out the top of your head. Well, they could have just left them alone. See, that's that old sinful self. They backslid. Now it's going to come back. First Chucky movie.
It the clown.
What did you say, Ariel?
It the clown.
It the clown. How did it come back? They went back left the book. You see what happens when you go back? You bring back, you resurrect the evil you. The evil you that was supposed to stay dead in baptism because you went back. Remember, I told y'all all backsliding starts with you looking back, and then you go back. We don't think of it like that, though. When God brought you out, look what David even said right here. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. That's a hole, right, or a ditch, right? Out of the miry clay. That means something muddy. That means David was in a hole filled with mud. You follow what I'm saying? Something you could drown or suffocate in, right? And set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He made my footing secure. Why did he went from mud to solid ground? What happened, y'all, if you're walking out in the woods and you walk into a pit of mud? What happened, Jeff, Gideon, Kevin J? What happened?
You sink in if you lose traction.
You'll sink in, and you'll go under. There have been people that, who have died in mud, and that's what quicksand is. That's kind of like quicksand, right? David is saying, God brought me out of the quicksand. He brought me out of the mud and put me on solid ground. That also means he's not sinking anymore. So you were sinking as a sinner. You were going under. Some of us were all the way under. God went in there, grabbed you, pulled you out, and set you on solid ground and said, walk. But you know what a lot of us do? After you set us on solid ground, you know, we wipe that mud off our face, and we do an about face, and we walk right back into that mud and start sinking again. That's what we do. And then while we're thinking, I check my DM, and somebody whose face is covered with mud, their clothes are covered with mud, and they're slowly sinking down. They're crying out to me, Josh, what can I do to stop sinking? I said, well, why did you go back to the mud pit? Why did you do that? You were out. Right? Because a lot of us like that mud. We like to be dirty. That's why a lot of us go back to it. It's not really hard in the sense when you start putting the metaphor in real life. That's why I like to put stuff in real life to help y'all visualize it and really understand spiritually this is what you're doing. God saved you from the quicksand, bro. He saved you from the mud pit. You were dying, and he put you on solid ground, and to show your appreciation, you turned around and walked right back into it and started thinking again.
Dogs returning to their vomit.
Yep, which is also in this, yes. That's what a lot of us do. But let me show you something else. Let's go to Psalm 73. See, they were very, the Hebrews were, they were very metaphorical with stuff. They were very metaphorical. They understood this. They used visuals to help you understand. I want to be on solid ground when I walk. I like to do that. That's one reason why when I go to run, I like to run on the treadmill. I don't like to run outside because, you know, the trail is, you know, whatever it's going to be. You follow what I'm saying? You can trip and fall on stuff. You know what I'm saying? I like the path of least resistance.
Yo, Josh, I was running up Stone Mountain like a month ago, and that thing is real uneven ground, and almost broke my ankle again coming down that thing.
Exactly. It's uneven ground. I've almost twisted my ankle running on hikes before. I've almost had that happen to me before, running on hikes. That's happened to me before. Anybody who jogs will tell you, if you're jogging on a trail, you are more prone to injury than if you're just running on a treadmill or just running on a flat surface road. Anybody will tell you that. See, I like the level trail. I don't like all those twigs and rocks and pits on my path. That's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to steer around that stuff. And then we choose the path. Look at all those rocky roads. And we pick it. See, I'm not talking to anybody where the road is set out before you and you have no choice. We pick the uneven surface path, the steep path, the one going this way or going this way. We pick it. And then we fall or slide. Call on the Lord. When the Lord told you in the beginning, don't choose that path. That's what we like to do. It's the weirdest thing. Like, humans, we're weird. We do stuff that we know is harmful to us, and then we ask God to save us from ourselves. That's what we do. Like, you know what you're doing. You know the path you took. A lot of us know. Real talk, 90%. And this is pretty high, y'all. 90% of our problems are caused by who, y'all? Y'all tell me. 90% of our problems. Who are the cause?
Us.
That's pretty high. Really 90 to 95. It's caused by us. That's why people say you are your own worst enemy. 90 to 95% of your backsliding are caused by you. That's you. You can't blame anybody. The decisions you make in life, where you ended up, where you're working right now, who you're married to, who you got children by, 90 to 95% of that is all you. Don't be complaining to me, brothers, about the woman you married. Oh, she gets on my nerves. So you didn't know she was like that before you married her? You didn't know that? This day and age, brothers will be with a woman for 4 or 5 years and then be engaged with her for another 2 or 3 years. So that's like, what, 8 years you know this woman and then you marry her and then you want to complain about how she is? You then knew how she was. You picked that. So what you're complaining about is your own fault. Same thing with these sisters who be getting these baby daddies. Oh, he's a deadbeat. He don't want to take care of his kids. And you didn't pick up on these characteristics before you opened your legs? I mean, he's selling dope. He's saying in and out of jail. Oh, yeah, that's father of the year right now. And then you get with him and you let him get you pregnant, then you want to complain about him. You picked him. See, that's how I approach it. That's why a lot of people don't like to talk to Josh, because Josh puts the blame exactly where it belongs, on you. Everybody want to blame everybody else. But see, the downside to that, though, is that when you do that, when you don't take responsibility, you can't fix anything. See, people don't understand. That's power in accountability. There's power in that. You surrender your power when you don't take responsibility. You're saying you're powerless. You're saying, I couldn't do anything about this. This is not my fault. It's beyond my control. That's you surrendering. Y'all think brain shifting makes you powerful. No, it makes you weak. That's what it does. So when you're backsliding, 90 to 95% of the time, who fault is that? You, because that's the path you're choosing. You're choosing the path that's making you stumble and slide and fall back. That's you. So why are you in my DM asking me what you need to do when you already know? If we was out on a hiking trail together in real life, Jeff, Gideon, Meat, Kevin, Jay, out there on Clubhouse, if we was on a hiking trail for real in real life, like we just went out as a group, a church group, we got on our jogging gear, running shoes. We said, we're going to go on a hike, 20 of us deep. Or everybody in the Discord. And then we come to a fork in the road. To the left, rocky way, steep, almost going straight down. To the right, a straight path. How many of you geniuses are going to turn to me and say, gee, Josh, which way is the safest way? Are y'all really going to need me for that? Like, seriously.
No.
Gee, Josh, do you think we should go down the one? And then not only that, snakes on the trail. You know what I'm saying? Wolves and everything. You can see all that in the distance. Y'all ain't going to have to talk, turn to me. If y'all ask me any question, it might be something like, you expect us to go down that way, Josh? It might be a question like that, you know, if I'm leading the hike. But y'all ain't going to look at me and be like, what do I need to do? You already know, we've been going this right trail. It's level. It's safe. It's the foundation is secure. Y'all don't need me for that. But when it comes to your spiritual path, which is even more important than any physical path you can be on, you get to the fork in the road, and now you want to act stupid. Well, I see all this trouble and trauma and all of this, and I see over here this is the path of peace and no resistance and easy. I think I'm going to go to the left. And then you call me and ask me to explain to you why you went to the left. That's what, y'all tell me in the chat, does the metaphor make sense? And on Clubhouse and on YouTube. Give me a W if the metaphor makes sense and it's that simple. If it's that simple. Because a lot of us can, and see, this is all good of a God we serve, y'all. He lets us see ahead now on the path. We can't see like 2 feet ahead and then we lose sight. He lets you see miles ahead. He gives you signs. Have y'all ever been on a hiking trail and it has signs on the trail? Have y'all ever done that? I have. I go hiking. I used to go hiking a lot. They got signs on the trail. The signs tell you where the path, where the trail leads, where it's gonna go, whatever dangers might be. Like, it tell you beware of whatever wild animal. A lot of stuff in life we get heads up on. We get warnings, we get signs, and we still take the wrong path. What do you want me to do? What can I tell you that's going to make you stop doing that? You don't have enough incentive? You mean to tell me the snakes, the almost straight down 50-foot drop, all the rocks, all the poison ivy? You mean to tell me that's not enough of an incentive for you not to go that way? You need me to tell you don't go that way? You don't need me for that. You don't need me for that. That's common sense. That's what I'm saying. 95% of our problems, of our backsliding, something is wrong with us. We need spiritual healing, because in real life, if we did something like that, people would call you crazy. But what do I always tell y'all? And Jidia, you should do this. I say this all the time. When it comes to religion, what do we get? I always say it. Y'all tell me, intelligence-wise. When it comes to religion, what we get? Stupid. Somebody said it up in there. Stupid. When it comes to religion, we get stupid. Outside of religion, we wouldn't do this stuff. But when you throw religion in there, it does. It makes you stupid. That's what it does. That's why you got to be careful with what religion. Because a lot of these religions are out here to dumb you down. That's why a lot of times y'all come on here, y'all say, I ain't never thought about that. Thought about it like that, John. All I'm doing is just telling it like it is and plain. I mean, it's really, it ain't that deep. But what these religions will do, they'll gas you up and make you think you're getting such a high level of knowledge that what they're really doing is removing you from common sense. See, I bring you down to earth. A lot of y'all heads are in the clouds. I bring you down to earth. That's what they mean when they say, man, somebody needs to bring you down to earth. Y'all ever know what that means? Matter of fact, me, Google that right quick, then we're going to move on. Google what it means to be brought down to earth. Just put idiom behind it or something. I'm going to show y'all something. See, we use a lot of these words. And we don't even, and these phrases and these idioms, we don't even know what it means. I want y'all to take a look at that. What does it mean to be brought down to earth? What does that mean? To be brought down to earth. Let me make my screen bigger so I can see.
If my session
you're
right,
yeah, the idiom, yeah. It's going to make the language come up sometimes, like the language barrier, right? Keep going down. Bring down to earth. Bring down to earth. If you
okay.
What's it say?
To make somebody lose power or be defeated?
That just means bring down. That just bring down. It's not bring down to earth. But somebody already said it in the chat.
Oh, wait.
There you go. You just had bring down. Look. What does it mean? Come back down to earth. What does it say? To start dealing with life and problems again after you have a very exciting time, or to make someone do this, the realization of how little studying this, they don't know what they're talking about right now in that one. But basically, what is somebody said in the chat, and I can pull it up later. I'll find it for you. Because I've been having Gideon do stuff like this, and he can't always find it the first time around. But what it means is to bring you back to reality. That's all I do. Ain't nothing hard about it. I just bring you back to reality. If you walk on a steep hill, you're going to fall. If you try to walk up a steep hill, you're going to fall. That's basic physics. Well, let's move on. We read Psalm 73. We're about to read it. Let's go to Psalm 73. Read 1 to 3. This is a Psalm of Asaph. See, I like to bring y'all back to reality. Why do you, what do y'all think it means when it says I'm trying to keep you grounded? What does that mean? I know y'all heard that word before, trying to keep you grounded. Not humble. Like I said, like you're grounded in something.
That's
trying to keep you grounded.
That means you're stable.
You can check.
That means
you're
stable.
Grounded in it. Stable.
That means you're stable. Ain't it funny how a lot of stuff that pertains to you just walking on the planet in the Hebrew vernacular. Ain't it funny how all of that just means logical, firm, in place? Ain't that funny? What does it mean when you're describing somebody as, oh, they're down to earth? What's that mean, Jeff?
They understanding.
No, down to earth. Because see, I like to see. We use these terminologies and stuff, and we don't even know what this stuff even means. We just be saying stuff. Oh, he's real down to earth. You know what I'm saying? What does that mean to be down to earth? I mean, we're all down to earth in reality, literally speaking, right? Unless you're in an airplane or something. Let me show y'all something, and then we're going to read this. Look what it says. This is down to earth. This is the Cambridge English Dictionary. It says practical, reasonable, friendly. Y'all know what practical and reasonable mean? What does it mean when I say something is reasonable? It means it makes sense. Practical means it makes sense. So when I say you're down to earth, that means you're a logical person. It also can mean you're friendly, but it also means you do what makes sense. So, Gideon, if down to earth means something is logical and makes sense, what would be the opposite of you being down to earth, metaphorically speaking?
What's
the opposite of down? So if I say you're down to earth and you're logical, what does it mean when I say, man, your head is in the clouds? You up in the clouds. That means you're unrealistic.
You're spaced out.
Exactly.
Illogical, not understanding.
You're illogical. So I'm just bringing you down to earth. That's all I'm doing. Because a lot of y'all got y'all heads in the clouds. Literally. And let me tell y'all how y'all know I know y'all got y'all heads in the clouds. Tell the truth. Give a W in the chat. Come off off the mic on Clubhouse on YouTube. How many of y'all, keeping it real now, are more interested in the second coming of Jesus than in getting yourself right? If you're more interested in the second coming of Jesus, give me a W. All y'all head in the clouds. Every last one of y'all.
Didn't see it. Imagine what you...
All y'all head in the clouds. You know why? Because what direction is Jesus coming from?
The clouds.
He's coming with the clouds. He's coming from above. Right? You are supposed to be more interested in getting yourself right and being down to earth and walking on the path than you are in the second coming of Jesus. Because he tells you if you're not ready, down to earth, walking that straight path when he's come, he's going to take you out. You see how that goes? What direction is Jesus coming from, Gideon? Above, right?
Above.
So if you're more interested in that, how are you walking? If we want to literally say you're more interested in looking for Jesus, show me on camera what direction you're looking in, Gideon.
You're basically saying like, you're guaranteeing that you're going to be up there with him.
You're looking up. That's all you're doing. If you're looking up at the sky, your head is literally in the clouds. And this is the reason why everybody is interested in the end times. Because everybody's head is in the clouds. When your head is supposed to be this, looking straight ahead. You don't have to look for Jesus' second coming. All you have to do is make sure you're walking the straight and narrow and not backsliding when he gets here. This is the reason why you got everybody want to come on here and they want to talk about what's going on April the 8th. Y'all want me to tell y'all what's going on April the 8th? A freaking eclipse. That's it. The end. Zero. Bye. Shortest conversation I ever had. Y'all ain't ever seen a dang eclipse before. I can understand some of the young people, 10 or 11 or 15. Bruh, eclipses have been happening since the beginning of time. We knew 20 years ago when this one was going to happen, just like we know when the next one is going to happen. If you can predict it's coming, it's nothing special. It's a freaking eclipse. That's it. The moon moves in its orbit in front of the sun, and it eclipses the sunlight. But what do we do? April 8th coming up. Ooh, an eclipse is coming. Yeah, and guess what else coming on April the 8th? The sun gonna rise. Guess what else gonna happen on April the 8th? The sun gonna set. These are all natural phenomena. But what direction is the sun and the moon in, Gideon?
In the clouds.
So what direction would you have to look to be worried about that?
Hey, look it
up. What direction are you supposed to be looking in?
Within, right?
Straight ahead.
Oh, yeah, straight.
Okay. Straight ahead. So you walking around like this. What happened in real life, Gideon, Jeff, me, Kevin J? What would happen in real life if you walked through real life like this, just walking? What eventually going to happen to you?
You're going to run and hit a wall.
You're going to hit a wall, or you're going to trip and fall because you're not watching where you're going. Your eye's not on the path. Y'all some cloud watchers. Y'all some stargazers. That's what's going on. Your head's in the clouds. This is where I am, right here. Me. This is where I am. Only looking to the left or the right to make sure ain't nobody trying to get at me. But this is where I am. This is the reason why everybody's so obsessed with the end times. Everybody looking up in the sky. You ain't got to worry about Jesus. You already know what he's going to do. You need to worry that you're doing right when you get here. That's why everything you read about in the Bible, every parable that Jesus gives about his second coming, he always tells believers, we need to make sure we're doing what's right when he comes. Do you want to, y'all want me to tell you what direction Jesus is? Y'all want me to tell you that, Jeff? What direction he is? He right in front of you if you're on the straight path. He's right in front of you. He's the actual path you're walking on. So why are you looking up? Right? The Bible even says that Christ is supposed to be in you. The Spirit of Christ is supposed to dwell in you. Why are you looking up? Why are you worried about a freaking eclipse and trying to make that be related to Jesus? Where did Jesus ever say that his second coming is going to be associated with a predictable eclipse? I'm not talking about no eclipse that comes out of nowhere. Now, if an eclipse just came out of nowhere, oh, brother, that's going to be scary. Like, how do you see this eclipse coming? What's this? This ain't normal. But a predictable eclipse that we knew 20 years ago was happening. Why don't y'all ask yourself a question, Jeff, Gideon, Kevin J, me, people on Clubhouse? If it's so special, how do we all know it's happening? Who told you, Jeff, that an eclipse was coming? You know about it, Jeff. Who told you?
I'm a co-worker, Captain. You told me, but I knew that it comes everywhere.
Yeah, but how did your co-worker know? How did the internet know?
This is just part of something that happens all the time.
But how do they know exactly when it's coming? Y'all want me to tell y'all how they know? You got something called astronomers.
Damn.
You got something called astronomers, scientists, and all they do is spend their life studying the stars, the constellations, and these astronomers simply put their findings out into the world. But you got a bunch of religious people using astronomy to scare you when astronomy is not even your field. Astronomers just told you there's going to be an eclipse. It's like astronomers can tell you where a constellation is going to be in the spring and where that same constellation is going to be in the winter because they know how to track the movement of the celestial bodies. Man has been able to do this since the beginning of time. This is nothing special. This is normal. This is nothing for you to get all bent out of shape and excited about. This is everyday stuff, but I know people not studying. Why are you afraid of an eclipse? It's just the moon moving in front of the sun. That's it. That's happened so many times before. I witnessed one myself. I've never been scared of an eclipse. Only warning I ever got about an eclipse is don't look directly at it when it's happening. That's the only thing I was warned of about an eclipse. Now people all over social media, oh, this is about the end times. It's a freaking eclipse. Sit down somewhere, please. It's not like the one that happened when Jesus died, where there was darkness over the land for 3 hours. They came out of nowhere. They were like, what? They weren't supposed to happen. Right? But now let's go to Psalm 17. I had to go off on the tangent because we be tripping. Even though Jeremiah 10, what does it say in Jeremiah 10? What did he tell the children of Israel? Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. Because the heathen are dismayed at them. Do y'all know what that means? That means the heathen, the pagans, the Gentiles. They were walking around scared out of their minds when the eclipse came. And Israel became apostate and started picking up that same mindset. And now you got religious people still dismayed at the signs of heaven. These are our leaders. These are our spiritual guides. And they found out the eclipse was coming. Now they're acting all kind of crazy. People even trying to tie that into that boat that crashed on the bridge. You see, connecting dots that are not even there. We got a long way to go, y'all. We got a long way to go. Psalm 73. 1-3, read that, please, Jeff.
Psalm 73, verse 1, a psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart.
So God is good to Israel, it says, even to such as are of a clean heart. So he's good to anybody that has a clean heart, right? But what we're going to read about here is Asaph talking about how he almost fell into backsliding. He's going to tell you the stuff that tempted him to become a backslider. Read that, please.
Verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped.
Look what he said. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh, which means nearly slipped. He said he almost backslid, y'all. He's going to tell you what made him do it. And y'all going to see some of this stuff that I was telling y'all about. Then looking to the left, looking to the right, looking back stuff. Go ahead and read.
Verse 3. For I was envious and the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
So it started out with him being envious, meaning jealous of the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He saw wicked people around him coming up. They were prospering. And he was jealous that they were prospering, and he wasn't. Anybody ever felt like that before on Clubhouse? Y'all ever felt like the wicked just be getting over, getting rich, getting possessions, getting popularity, and we're out here trying to do right? And he said, I started feeling envious of this, right? This almost caused me to slip. Y'all better think about this, right? Especially if you come from a background like Gideon, where Gideon was used to being popular, and now he had to give some stuff up, and now he see other people still doing the stuff that he knew was a sin, and he stopped doing, he could be tempted to almost slip. That can happen to anybody, me, you, anybody, right? Skip down, though, and read verse 11 to 19, because we're going to go into more detail about what happens. Read, please.
Psalm 73, verse 11. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?
So this is still him talking about the wicked. He says, and they say, while they're doing all their wickedness, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? In other words, they're asking it like they don't believe God sees or knows what they're doing. These are the kind of people that Asaph said almost made him slip. These are people that don't care about God, don't even believe in God or that he's as powerful as he says he is. See, this is how you'll start slipping, because you're getting distracted. See, Asaph was getting distracted by the wicked. He was focusing on them. They making it. They doing all kinds of wicked stuff, and they're prospering from it. He said that almost made him slip. He was jealous of the wicked. We're never supposed to be jealous of the wicked, y'all, because when you become jealous of the wicked, you start to emulate the wicked.
That's right.
You start to copy them. That's why he said he almost slipped. This is the sum of I almost fell off. Right? What of the wicked who questions the knowledge of God says? Continue, please.
Verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches.
Look what he said. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. You see that? These are the people that Asaph was jealous of because they were prospering. They were getting money. This is the reason why a lot of our kids get off into crazy stuff, because they are jealous of their friends who are getting money in a wicked way. So they start copying them because they want to get money. This is natural. Why am I showing y'all this? Because I'm showing you that it's natural to feel this way. It's natural to be jealous of them. But don't let it cause you to slip. He said it almost made him slip. Unfortunately, we got more failures than almost in this world. Way more failures than almost failing. This is what this guy is saying. Continue reading, please.
Verse 13. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence.
Now look how he said he was feeling. He said, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. He said he did that for nothing. In other words, he was saying, man, I'm trying to walk right and have pure thoughts for nothing. What's the point? You ever felt like you were just doing this for nothing, Jeff? Ever felt like, what's the point? We all have at some point. We all felt like everybody winning and we losing. See, this is what you call an honest song. He ain't walking around here acting like he's too holy to admit that at times he felt like he was getting ripped off. He got the short end of the stick. He on the wrong team. It's natural for us to feel like that. Don't ever feel bad for having honest emotions. If you honestly feel some way, it could be the wrong emotion, but if you honestly feel that way, then there's nothing wrong with that. You just got to change the way you feel. But he's telling you, this is how I felt. I felt like I'm being good for nothing. But remember, in the beginning of this psalm, he said, I almost slipped. Right? Keep reading.
Verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning.
He said, man, here I am trying to have a clean heart and my hands are innocent. Here I am trying to do all of this. But yet all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. That means every day. You ever felt like that before, Jeff? You are just trying to do right and yet you just still just come across trouble. Anybody on Discord, Clubhouse, YouTube, ever felt like that? No matter how right you try to be, you just feel like trouble, you just can't get ahead. Meanwhile, people who ain't even thinking about God, they getting rich, they getting houses, they getting married, you can't even keep a relationship.
Yep, definitely.
You out here being nice to these women and treating them right. They shooting you down. Then they go get with a dude that beat on them, cheat on them, lie to them. Same thing with the women. You trying out here trying to be all humble and a woman of God. He want to go get the freak. He want to go get the slut. You trying to be a woman of God. You want him to be a man of God. You feel like you're trying to do good, but all you're hit with is punishment, plague. Right? Keep reading.
Verse 15. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children.
Now he said, if I say, I will speak thus, in other words, if I say what's on my mind, you know, all the stuff we've been reading about how he feels, that he's doing all this for nothing, that he's losing and the wicked is winning. He said, if I say, I will speak this, I will tell you how I feel, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children, talking about God's children. It's like I'd be betraying them. So I'm not going to be out here talking like that, right? Read verse 16.
Psalm 73, verse 16. When I thought to know this, too painful for me.
He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You know, thinking like this. That's painful when you think like that. Like, man, they win and we lose. Right? But remember, in the very beginning, he said he almost slipped. Didn't he, Jeff? Almost.
That's right.
Right? Keep reading, please.
Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein.
He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Talking about the wicked, the ungodly. See, he was saying, I was thinking like this. I was having these negative thoughts that almost made me slip. But then I went to the sanctuary of God. That could mean like the literal temple or metaphorically how he found sanctuary in God, right? Then understood I therein. See, what made him snap out of this negative way of thinking is him going to the sanctuary of God and understanding what's the end of the week going to be. See, he said, I almost slipped. He almost backslid, y'all, but he didn't. Go ahead and read.
Verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction.
Now you found what God did to the wicked, right? Surely you did set them in slippery places. You casted them down to destruction. Do y'all know what this is saying? If you keep backsliding, God is going to make you fall. That's why I say he set them in slippery places. You cast them down into destruction. That's what he did to ancient Israel. They backslid so much, God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you on ice. Some real slippery frozen ice. I'm going to make sure you slip. See, remember David talked about God bringing him up out from places like that and putting them on solid ground. Now you're reading about God putting people on slippery ground, a ground that's slippery or a ground that's going to make you slip. See, that's what God will do to you. He's going to make you fall. See, I keep telling y'all, God got a cutoff point. And that's what it's saying right here. Surely you did set them in slippery places. Ain't it saying that God did this to them, Jeff? What happens if I put you in a slippery place, Jeff? What are you going to do? If I put you in a slippery place, what are you going to do?
You'll go backwards into destruction.
And what's going to happen to you if you're slipping? What's going to happen?
You're going to fall.
You're going to fall. See, God can set you on solid level ground, or God can set you in a slippery place. So you keep backsliding, God's going to let you fall into destruction. See, we don't think about it like that. We think, I'm just going to keep on backsliding. I'm going to keep on backsliding. God's going to say, you know what? I'm going to throw a banana peel right on your path. And then you're going to slip and you're going to fall into destruction. That's why you got to stay focused, straight ahead, eyes forward. That's how you're supposed to be. You got all these distractions. That's why people come in here on Discord. Somebody in the chat said, wah, 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 Toad voice. That's from that Mario Kart when you sip on that banana peel while driving. I know about that. I play with Toad. That's
I know
about.
Why. The song 73, like, spoke to me, like, crazy. Especially because it's like, you know, a lot of the people that people look up to, it's like they just look up to them. Or it's like a lot of people that I know people look up to, it's like, I personally know them, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they'll call me up, hit me up, they'll tell me what they're doing next, they'll let me know, like, oh, man, I'm about to go do this, I'm about to go do that, and it's like one of those things where it's just like, it's not like really jealousy, but it's more like, dang, I know I could be doing that too, like, literally, because I was doing that, But, you know, looking at this, like, it's just crazy to see, like, people in the Bible, like literally kind of, like, taking what you were thinking, but this was going on thousands of years ago.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't want y'all to ever feel like we're alienated from the people in the Bible or they didn't think and feel the way we feel about stuff and about God. I don't need whole classes on this. I did a class titled, You Won't Always Agree with God. And I told a lot of people in the Bible, prophets, who had a problem with God's way of doing things, and they told them. They didn't rebel against them. They just said, man, I don't agree with that message. You're not going to always agree with God.
And Jeremiah, well, Brother Josh?
That's one of them, yeah. That's an example of it.
Yeah, I was just going to say it because it reminds me of, like, when we watch people be great, we look on Facebook or social media, we see all these people who we know are evil. It seems like they always succeed in it, and they got this and they got that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you broke out that destruction that they get at the end,
mm-hmm.
that's the part that hit me. So I'll praise
it,
man.
Yeah, that's the part that made him snap out of it. That's why he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, being understood, I therein. See, he was all in them negative thoughts, and he was all depressed and feeling down, like we losing, until I understood therein.
Yeah, I recommend everybody read Psalm 73, the whole chapter,
mm-hmm.
in the New Living Translation. That thing is so deep, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading that, and I was telling Rakia, like, yo, this is the story of my life, man.
What? Keep reading, though. Verse 19.
Psalm 73, verse 19. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terror.
Look how quick he said it happened, too. How are they brought into desolation, which means destruction, as in a moment, that means in an instant, they are utterly consumed with terrors. I've seen this thing happen. Like they prospering. See, I don't know about the country community, but Jeff do. Brother Polite, one minute he on top of the world, women, money, 7 years right now in prison for child molestation charges. Same thing with Nature Boy. Did you hear about Nature Boy? Jeff?
Oh, for sure.
He got life in prison. He ain't ever getting out. Cult leader. Women, money, land, all of that. All these guys got one thing in common, though. They turned their back on the Lord.
I was about to say that too. I was like, it was a matter of time because that channel was on top for a while.
Exactly.
And they caused a third of a lot of things.
And they caused a lot of people
you
to question.
You understand their end, you don't want to join in.
Exactly. When you understand their end, you don't want to be their friend. Rewind changed it because in and end, they're homophones, meaning they sound the same, right? So I want to make it rhyme. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. Because you're going to get the same thing they get if you cool with them. See, we understand their end. And this is the reason why the devil done came on the scene now, and he's telling people, oh, hell's not real. Hell is just a metaphor. See, they don't want you to understand the end. You follow what I'm saying? The end of what? That path. Remember, everything is a path. Never forget that. It's all a path. That's why he said at the beginning, go back to the beginning, Jeff. Read verse 2, please. Read that.
Psalm 73, verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped.
Nope. Notice what he said. He said, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slip, like I almost fell, I almost slipped, I almost backslid. He said, I came close until I understood their end. And see, that's where I'm at with it. See, I understand their end. And more God is showing us, especially with these rich and famous people, these celebrities, more and more, we're getting caught up. More and more.
You still having this issue?
I heard about it, but I don't know the specifics.
I don't know the specifics either, but
I heard he caught up in something.
Now they're saying something about Jay-Z now or something like that.
Yep. See, God is not going to be mocked, y'all. Remember, most people, even celebrities, y'all do know, most of these people are born into some kind of Christianity. Y'all know that, right? When you think about all these big-time celebrities, they went to church growing up when they were kids. They had grandmothers telling them to go to church and mothers. They weren't born with the way they think now. They got that money, and they backslid. See, backsliding don't just mean going back to sin. It also means just turning from God in general. It means that, too. And that's what a lot of people do. And what did God say he's going to do? It said, verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. That means they're going to make them fall. He's going to bring them down. That's what it means. If you make somebody fall, you're trying to bring them down. That's what happened to the ancient children of Israel, and that's what's going to happen to everybody in the future. That's why I'm telling y'all, forward, not backsliding. And the reason why a lot of y'all backsliding, because you're looking back. You're looking up. You're looking left. You're looking right. And I'm not saying that you can't ever take an occasional glance. I mean, when you're out walking and jogging in real life, you know, you're going to occasionally, you know, make sure, you know, they make anybody behind you. You know, that's natural. But your focus is still forward. See, if I look this way, or I look this way, or I look behind me, or if I look up, or if I look down, that's not my focus. That's just me being aware of my surroundings. I'm not telling y'all to have tunnel vision. Tunnel vision means all you can see is what's in front of you. And I can show you in the Bible, it tells us not to be like that, right? We're supposed to be focused on moving ahead. See, that's another thing, too. Notice that proverb told us to be focused on ahead. That means we're supposed to be constantly moving. We're not supposed to get complacent. We're not supposed to be standing still. A lot of people in your life, they want you to stand still with them. They want to slow you down. They want to drag you down. And you can't look back. You got to keep moving. That's why I'm like, man, you got to keep it moving on. Y'all want to say, you know how they say you stuck on stupid? Stuck means you can't move. When you're stuck, that means you can't move, right? A lot of people want to say stuck on stupid. And you want to be around people who are stuck on stupid. You can't do that. You got to stay focused. Don't get distracted. Look at what Gideon did. Gideon bought a flip phone. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. That's pretty much what he's saying when he did that. A lot of stuff on this internet is offending me, so I'm going to pluck it out. I'm going to get me the most basic of phones, talk and text. That's pretty much all the flip phones do.
Right.
That's pretty much. It got a few other features, but I'm saying, but it's like the very basic. I'm surprised they didn't get a rotary phone.
Is that the one that goes like?
Yeah, that's a rotary phone. Like, boy, I would hate to have dial 911 back then, bro. Take about 30 minutes and dial it. Nine, one. Man, please. I'm fighting the intruder myself before I try that. You follow what I'm saying? But yeah. But that's why he did what he did. It's about that focus, y'all. Straight ahead. Now you're supposed to be. But now.
I have a Tesla, so it has that screen where I can type everything in, so I don't got to worry about GPS.
So he good. The only time you need GPS is when you're driving, right?
Yeah.
Yep. This is Proverbs 14 and 14. Everybody out here trying to distract you. Everybody out here trying to get you to backslide. See, people can drag you back. See, we don't like to talk about that. People can drag you back. They can pull you back, make you fall. You got a whole church you go to, worried about what they're teaching over there. You got a whole pastor, right? You got a whole pastor. It's amazing how much of us, how many of us know what's going on in churches we don't attend. That's amazing to me. I mean, you're looking to the left. You're looking to the right. You're not focused. I don't want to know what's going on that much with Sam Shimon. Not that much. You feel me? Unless I just watch his videos like that, which I don't. Right? But I'm supposed to know that much what's going on with him. A lot of y'all can tell me more about Sam Shimon, you can tell me about your own pastor. How many of y'all right now on Discord, give me a W if you got a pastor, you know, other than me. if you got a pastor. Now, for all y'all that put W, next question. When was the last time you sat down and went to dinner with your pastor? That's how many W's I'm going to get down.
I think you like that. Brother Josh, there you go. Wait, we didn't hear anything you said.
No, I said, I asked him how many of them, got a pastor other than, you know, me. They consider me to be their pastor, and I got a few dozens, a handful of them. And I asked them, and I'm going to ask it again. I want y'all to put y'all answer again because it came in kind of late. How many of y'all, when the last time y'all sat down and had dinner with your pastor? When the last time you sat down and had dinner with him? I ain't getting no W's, Gideon. Look at this. They said never. Somebody said last year. Look at this. What's your pastor's favorite color? Somebody tell me that. Tell me. I'm serious. What's your pastor's favorite food? Somebody said chicken. You don't know that. You just threw that out there. Stop the cow. That sounds generic as I don't know what. This ain't no Family Feud. Show me chicken. Ding. No. Stop the cow. Y'all know good well y'all don't know what his favorite food is. My point is, you know nothing. A lot of y'all know more about me than you know about your own pastor. He never even met me. What's wrong with that, Gideon? They know more about me because I say the same thing over and over again. I repeat myself a lot, right? I got a handful of favorite foods, right? But see, I'm trying to show y'all something. Now look at this, Gideon, and everybody on Clubhouse and everybody on YouTube. Look at this. Look how alienated y'all are from y'all pastors. Maybe that's why you know more about Sam Shimon than you know about your own pastor. But wait a minute. You know, that's like you know more about somebody else's dad than you know about your own. Y'all don't see anything wrong with that? Y'all don't see anything wrong with that? Am I the only one who thinks that, you know, something is off, that you know more about a pastor you don't even sit under than the one that you do? Y'all don't see anything wrong with that? That's not strange to y'all? Is that crazy true? Jeff, Gideon, am I the one who's tripping? Or something off with that? That you know more about a pastor that you don't even sit under than one that you do. That's wild.
Crazy.
You follow what I'm saying? This is what I be seeing. This is this basic, practical, down-to-earth stuff that I be telling y'all. And y'all have never sat around and thought about that. This is the man you're trusting with your salvation and your spiritual well-being, and you don't even know his middle name. You don't even know where he lives. What's your wife, pastor, name? What's the pastor, your wife? Oh, I'm sorry, your pastor's wife. What's her name? I don't know. Mrs. Pastor. y'all don't know this stuff. You know what I'm saying? First lady is a title. That's a position, bro. that's not a name. Somebody said first lady. They trying, though. See, they trying. Y'all don't even know this stuff. No wonder y'all over here. I thought y'all, hey, no wonder y'all over here. Because y'all, I let y'all in. I let y'all get to know me. That's why y'all over here, man. Because I let you in. I talk to you straight. That's why you're here. You feel more comfortable talking to me than you do talking to them because you don't know them. You're supposed to know your pastor. Just like you know your mom and your dad. You're supposed to know your pastor if you're really serious about the word like that. You're supposed to know them. This is the person in charge of your salvation. He's the one that's going to make sure you don't backslide. And you don't even know him. So I got a little homework for y'all. who still go to church on Sunday. When you go there tomorrow celebrating your pagan Easter, you know, hunting for eggs and celebrating the goddess Ashtaroth, because that's what it is. Easter service is the perfect time to shake some hands and introduce yourself. This is my homework for you kids. If you go to church tomorrow for Easter, walk up to your pastor, introduce yourself, get to know him. Okay? Can y'all do that? Get to know him. Get to know the person who's in charge of your spiritual insurance. That's your insurance agent, by the way, your pastor. That's your spiritual insurance agent. Get to know him. Proverbs 14:14. That's practical knowledge, ain't it? Ain't nothing deep about what I'm saying, right?
That's all it is.
That's practical knowledge. Everybody at ABC, people at ABC, Jeff will tell you, they knew me for years before they met me. Jeff, when you first met me in person, then it felt like you already knew me.
I already knew you. Same person on video, same person in real life.
Same person. Keanu, when you and Tommy came down to get baptized, y'all have been at ABC for 10 years without ever meeting me in person. When y'all finally met me, don't I seem like the same person y'all always knew?
Same exact person.
It don't seem like, man, this is different. I ain't never met this guy. This is a different guy that I've been growing to know. You're supposed to know these people, y'all. I'm just telling y'all. Y'all better get to know people. That's why I talk to y'all like we family. Y'all ever notice that, Jeff, Jennifer? Then I talk to y'all direct. I don't mince words. I talk to y'all like we hanging out and I've been knowing y'all for years. That's why I say this. Like, I can't believe he said that. I talk to you like I'm your crazy uncle. You know what I'm saying? I just say whatever, but I'm telling the truth though. I want y'all to know this. I'm a very open person. I keep it real. I don't play any games, right? But this is Proverbs 14:14. Read that, please.
Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself.
Now it's telling you basically that you reap what you sow. That's all this is talking about. But it said the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. That means if you are a backslider, you're going to get the reward of a backslider. And if you are a good man, you are going to satisfy yourself. Meaning, if you're on this walk and you're a good man, what you do is going to satisfy you. See, there's a downside to backsliding. That's all this is saying, is you reap what you sow. And backsliding means you're turning away from God or you're sliding back from God. We even use terms like this today. We ain't even talking about God. We just be like, hey, man, you slipping. You ever say that somebody goes to the untrue? True secret, Jeff? Man, you slipping, bro. We ain't even talking about the words, man. You slipping. Why do we use terms like this? That means you're about to fall away or off from whatever you do. You follow what I'm saying? You get on one of your children's case, like, man, hey, man, your grades are starting to slip. You ever heard a parent say that before, y'all? What about you, me, Kevin J? Your grades starting to slip. Why do we use terms like slip? Your grades represent you, your academic status. So when you say your grades are starting to slip, it ain't your actual grades that slip. Ain't no A's or no B's slipping off of paper. What you're telling your child is that you're starting to slip. We use this terminology. So when it says a backslider is going to be filled with its own way, well, if your grades starting to slip, what's your reward going to be? The reward of somebody who grades slip. That's an F. And F stands for failure. And did y'all know that failure and failing and fall and falling all mean the same thing, going down. When you say somebody failed the test, it's just saying they failed, like they fell down. All of these words are related. Why do you think Jeff, Gideon, Kevin J., Meet, why do you think when you go to school and you get a failing grade, they say you failed? Why is failed or fail a word? Why is that a word? All this stuff means the same thing. What does it mean, Meet?
Go down.
You went down. You fell down.
So at the start of the year, like pretty much, well, actually, I don't know if you start with 100.
Some teachers
you
do that.
With 100,
some
or
teachers,
you start with a zero?
Some teachers do that. They give everybody an A, and then they say, you know, it starts going down depending on your performance. I've heard that before. Like everybody, I had a teacher, and I never forget, fifth grade, Ms. Shields Henley. She started out, she was the first teacher I heard implement that policy, even though she didn't invent it. So everybody start out with an A. That's an old thing, but not every teacher does that, right? And you know why they do it like that, Gideon? Where you do the start with the A or the start with the 100? Because that puts a lot of accountability on the kids. Because he's going to go back and tell your parents when you fail, hey, at the beginning of the semester, I gave him an A. He starts draining away that A. That's why in life, when you say you failed, the reason why we use that word failed is because it symbolizes you falling down. We even use this in everyday terminology. Then when you say your grade starting to slip, you get that F. What do F stand for? Failed. That's what we do. We use these words. It's real logical. Does it all make sense? Does this sound like Chinese to any one of y'all, except for y'all who speak Chinese? Does it make sense? Ain't this real basic? That's what fail means. You failed. Real simple. I like to keep it real simple. This stuff is not hard, right? Let's go to Jeremiah 5. Israel had a problem with this. That's why you can't blame other people for your failure. You failed, or you failed. You can't blame anybody else for that. We want to blame people for our failures, for our backsliding. You can't blame anybody for that. You choose. You choose. 90-95% of our problems. Think about anything you're struggling with. I told y'all in one of the quotes from my book, every addiction was a choice first. Man, I'm addicted to porn, Josh, but you chose to watch it in the beginning, don't you? In order for you to become addicted to something, you got to first try it. I ain't ever heard of anybody becoming addicted to something without trying it first unless you were born like a crack baby or something. You were born addicted to crack. And even then, a baby don't know what crack is. They just know they crave something. So it's not really a crack addiction. It's just like a yearning for something, and you don't know what it is. But every addiction was a choice first. So why are we feeling sorry for people who are addicted to stuff that they chose to become addicted to? See, we throw the pity in the wrong direction. You chose that. We got all this information on drugs. Crack ain't new. Ecstasy ain't new. We all know what it does. The movies show us. The schools teach us. If you get addicted to crack in this day and age, you want to be addicted. There's no way in the world somebody's going to come up to me and say, God, this is actual crack. Smoke it. It's actual crack. You mean the crack I've been seeing in the 80s and on TV and all that? Yeah, that crack right now, Josh, smoke it. No. Why not? Because I know it cracked out to people. I'm not ignorant of this. You get on crack and drugs today, even as a teen. Y'all know what this stuff does? We know what it does. We all know what it does. So why am I supposed to feel sorry for somebody who's choosing to fall back? I'm supposed to feel sorry for them? See, we keep showing sympathy and pity for people who are choosing to backslide. They're making a conscious decision to do that. And they want you to go back, because think about this. When they backslide, let me ask you a question, Gideon. If me and you were on the trail, and the trail started getting steep, we didn't have any choice. And I gave up and slid down, like back to the bottom. In order for you to save me, what would you have to do?
I would have to slide back down too.
You have to go back. You have to slide back. If me and Gideon was walking on the trail and Josh doing his best and Josh tripped and it's not his fault and he slide back, now I expect Gideon to come back and help me get back where we're going. But if we on the trail again, I'm just telling Gideon, I ain't going to do this no more, man. I'm tired. I ain't doing this. Come on, Josh, you got to keep. Nope. Bye, Gideon. Turn around. Oh! Gideon, come get me. You better keep moving, Gideon. You better leave me there to die. Because I made a conscious decision to not keep going. But what do? We trying to save people who don't want to be saved. That's what we do. People look you right in the eye and say, I don't want to do this. That's why I was telling these young brothers that were coming on the stage a couple of weeks ago, up here pining and whining about these young females they trying to get at who they're, you know, the young brothers, they the Christians. Well, she don't really want to get in the Word, Josh. You know, she's out there, and I'm just trying to, man, you don't shut. One thing I can't stand is listen to a young man sit around and cry over a female that don't want them. Y'all lucky we on Discord, because if we weren't on Discord, you'll probably get cursed out. I cannot stand listening to no young dude, 15, crying about, as a Christian man, I ain't about this in general, as a Christian man crying about some girl who want to keep be out there slutting it up. You know, I just try to talk to her, and, you know, she just don't want it. Boy, woo, we on Discord, we on Discord. Jeremiah. Stop trying to save people. Stop going back for people who chose to go back. That's what happened to Lot's wife. Couldn't leave well enough alone. There were under 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah that God felt was worth saving. Under 10 people. Abraham kept bringing the number down. If there be 50 people, would you spare it for 50 people? God said, I'd spare it for 50 righteous people there. What about 40? I'd do it for 40. Abraham kept going down. Even got to 10. Sodom and Gomorrah was still destroyed. You know what that means? The math? That means less than 10 people. Because God said, I saved it for 10. But yeah, he still destroyed it. That means it wasn't even 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God destroyed it. What did Lot's wife do after God told them, don't look back? She looked back. And God froze her in place, turned her to a pillar of salt. Because what do you have to always do, everybody? Before you backslide, what's the first thing you got to do? Y'all tell me. I've been saying it all day. What's the first thing you got to do?
Look back.
That's the first thing you got to do. Look back. And that's what a lot of y'all are doing, looking back. And then wondering why you're falling back. Got to stay on that straight, focused. That's what you got to do. Jeremiah 5. Look what God tells the children of Israel. We're going to read 1 to 6. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Read that, please.
Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the rock places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that execute judgment, that seek the truth, and I will pardon it.
Sound familiar? What were we just talking about? Sodom and Gomorrah and Abraham trying to negotiate with him? This is what God was telling Jeremiah. He said, see if you can find a man. If there be any that execute a judgment that speak of the truth, and I will pardon it. You can find anybody that do that, I'll forgive them. Right? I'll forgive them. Go ahead and read.
Verse 2. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely.
He said, and though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. In the Bible, when somebody would prep a statement with, as the Lord liveth, that was the same way of them saying, I swear to God. And a lot of people said that in the Bible. As the Lord liveth, as sure as there is a God, I'm going to do this. Even God said that about himself. As sure as I liveth, I'm going to do something. So he said they're swearing falsely. See, look what it says. And though they say the Lord liveth, in other words, they're saying, we believe in God. We believe God exists. They swear falsely. What did God mean when he said they swear falsely? See, a lot of us don't understand that when you say you believe in God, but you're living wickedly, you're swearing falsely. That's what was going on in ancient Israel. See, the Lord lives just means the Lord exists. You can go out to this world and ask anybody, you believe God exists? Yeah, but look what you're out here doing. That's called swearing falsely. When you say God exists, but you're living wicked, you're swearing falsely. So you don't even realize what you're doing. That's why he was so upset. Y'all going around, every time somebody asks you, Do you believe in the God of Israel? They're going, oh, yes, yes, but you're out here being wicked. So they weren't just swearing and not performing by God's name. They was also just falsely representing. And a lot of us are swearing falsely. Don't come to me telling me you believe in God, the God of his Bible, and yet you're a liar, you're a gossiper, you're a thief, you're a fornicator. You're swearing falsely to me when you tell me that. But that's another lesson. Continue, please.
Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3. O Lord, are not thy eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return.
Look at all the stuff God did to the ancient Israelites. It says, you have stricken them. I mean, you don't struck them. You don't beat them. Right? You don't beat them, but they have not grieved. It's like the whooping don't even work. They don't even feel it. Right? These are bad children right here, ain't it? Right? You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. You even killed a lot of them. Their children are dying in the street. Still not getting the message. Still refuse to be corrected. Look what up it says. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Return what? Back to the Lord from backsliding. But look what he said. They have made their faces harder than a rock. What is he calling them right here, Jeff?
Hard-headed.
I know y'all don't heard that term before, but he gets hard-headed. That's what it is. A lot of y'all got rock heads. Just hard-headed. No matter what happens to you, you refuse to learn. That's why I say some people, does this sound like somebody you want to deal with, Jeff?
Oh, for not knowing heck
no. No matter what's happening to them, they refuse to be corrected. This is the one you want to backslide back with? Some people are like that. But what do y'all do? They come in the room, they want to keep arguing back and forth. Y'all in the chat, still trying to get them on the right page. No. Some people refuse to be corrected, no matter what. You can literally find out where they live and put a gun in their head. Man, I know you see this. No, pull the trigger. Nope, go ahead and shoot me. No, they won't. We'll accept death over correction. Some people, that's where they got their term from, you know, you're going to die on that hill. You ever heard that before, Jeff, or Kevin J? I know Gideon probably ain't heard it. You heard it before, Gideon? When they say you're going to die on that hill, that means you're going to stand on something till you die, even if it's wrong. You follow what I'm saying? That's how a lot of people, I'm going to die on that hill. And you got a lot of rockhead people walking around here, hard-headed. But go ahead and read.
Jeremiah 5, verse 4. Therefore I say, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God.
And when the Bible talks about the word way, what's they talking about, Jeff?
A path.
Path, exactly. They don't know the path of the Lord. But keep reading.
Verse 5. I will give me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bond.
He said, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bond. In other words, they're still like being rebellious. Right? What's going to happen to them? Read verse 6.
Verse 6. Wherefore, a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased.
Is that because their transgressions are many, and what has increased? Their backslidings have increased. What's the punishment? Them being torn to pieces by wild animals. And some people can say metaphorically, that means like the surrounding nation. You know how God feels about us backsliding, y'all? He had the children of Israel literally torn to pieces because they kept backsliding. See, this ain't anything to play with. God don't like that backsliding crap. You talk to a free gracer, I've heard free gracers say, you can't even backslide. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. If you backslide, you would never save. That doesn't make any sense, because how can you backslide from something that you were never at? You can't slide back from something if you were never that. The very definition means you were there and you slid back from it. You follow what I'm saying? Look how God felt about this. But let me show you another one. Let's go to Hosea. There's that little book after the book of Daniel. 11. Hosea 11. Not backsliding. Worried about what everybody else think about you. There's another thing that's wrong with this generation right here, boy. Woo, boy, we sure do care what a bunch of strangers think about us.
That's right.
A bunch of strangers. You care more what a bunch of strangers think about you than your own mother and father. Clicks and likes. We selling our souls cheap these days. Satan getting a bargain on our souls these days. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, Satan had to produce. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, Satan got coupons and stuff for y'all souls. You know what I'm saying? He getting y'all cheap. Views and clicks. You know what I'm saying? He ain't even making no real money. Attention. Think about that. Think about mentally. I want y'all to just slow down. See, I'm real practical. I make you think. Mentally, what kind of person needs to be loved by everybody? What kind of person feels that way? Y'all tell me. Insecure is a description. Narcissism is a diagnosis. We're looking for more of an umbrella term that covers all of that.
Someone said sociopath. Big ego.
We'll just say mentally ill or a crazy person. That's more of an umbrella term. All of y'all are right. I'm just looking for something that includes it all. Mentally, something has to be wrong with you if you want to be loved and adored by everybody. Something's wrong with you. That's a cry for help. And that's what this world is today. Why do you think so many people want to jump on social media and make videos other than the monetary incentives? Why do you think so many people want to be in front of the camera dancing, singing, laughing? Why do you think so many people want to do that? They say clout. But clout is a form of what? Attention. See, these are a bunch of people. That's a cry for help. It's not normal mentally to want that many people to like and adore you and try to get them to do it. But, you know, everybody wants to be liked. I don't want y'all to think it's wrong with wanting everybody to like. Don't nobody want to walk around with nobody not liking them. But to feel that you have to do something to try to make that happen, that's not normal. See, people don't even understand that the very desire to want to be famous, that's a mental illness right there. Because you want everybody, you're trying to make everybody love you and adore you. Guess who was the first recorded person in history who wanted the same thing? Who wanted to be loved and adored outside of God? It is Lucifer, the devil. That's why a lot of these celebrities sell their souls. For what? For clout, for attention. That's not normal for a guy. When I come on here and do this, I know I don't do this to be loved. I do this because I'm just telling the truth. But when you get somebody to say, I want to do this, I want to be a rapper, if you're just like, well, you just want to get that money, okay, no, I ain't gonna really be too much problem. But you want everybody adoring you. You want everybody singing your music. You want your posters up, hanging up in everybody's room. You follow what I'm saying? You want everybody wearing a picture of you on their T-shirt. You follow what I'm saying? See, we don't think about stuff like that. That's you wanting to be adored and loved by everybody. And if you get caught up in that stuff, now you don't backslid. You want to be idolized. That's why they made a show titled American Idol. American Idol. They're telling you right now, we're looking for the next American to be idolized. Idolatry is a sin. How many people sitting in the audience on American Idol do y'all think? What percentage of those people sitting in the audience do y'all think were Christians? Y'all tell me. How many of y'all think it's
99%.
About 80 to 99%. The majority. How many people y'all think were performing to become the American Idol was a Christian? 99%. Y'all better wake up. Right? This is Hosea chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip. What's the problem with the children of Israel? Go ahead and read.
Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved them and called my son out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. What did they end up doing, though? Go ahead.
Verse 2. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Baalim and burned incense to graven images.
And see, Baal was a pagan sun god of the Canaanites. And when you see Baalim, that means in his many forms. Because when you put that M on the end, that means it's pluralized. So they were worshiping Baalim in his many forms, right? Watch what it says, though. Skip down and then read verse 7. Go ahead.
Hosea 11, verse 7. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt them.
Look what it says. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Jeff, have you ever heard somebody say he hell bent on doing something?
For sure.
That's what this is saying right here. It said, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. Israel was hell bent on backsliding from God. That's what it means when they say you're bent on doing something. I mean, you're determined to do something, right? And then it says, though they called to them, to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Do y'all see that? You got a people bent on backsliding. I mean, you determined to backslide. We got people like that in the world. We got people like that right now who are determined to backslide. And then they call to the Lord and wonder why the Lord don't save them or lift them up. See, if you're determined to backslide, what can Brother Josh do? You jump in my DM telling me, Josh, I'm backsliding again. I don't have multiple people tell me they were backsliding. I gave them some advice. A few weeks later, all month, they're in my DM again. I'm backsliding again. My people are bent to backsliding from me. Don't it sound like something that's been going on for the longest? Some people are bent on backsliding. What can I do? The prophet, Hosea, Jeremiah, Isaiah couldn't stop people from backsliding. What can I do? Now help me understand that. If they couldn't do it, I'm not a prophet of God. The prophets couldn't stop these people from backsliding. But y'all being my deal, Josh, what can I do to stop backsliding? Well, for one, stop looking back. That's not enough. I don't know what else to tell you, bro. Like, for real, Gideon, tell me, what am I supposed to tell these people? Jeff, Kevin, Jay? I mean, other than don't look back. What else?
It's like, you know, if you tell someone to get saved by Jesus, you know, you can't make them get saved by Jesus.
Right, I mean, like, I'm just trying to let you out. All you can do is pray for them. But even then, God even told Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. They were backsliding so much, he said, stop praying for them. So what am I supposed to do? I'm showing y'all this because, and this ain't no, I'm not taking any shots at anybody who be in my DM trying to, you know, cry out for help because that's what I'm here for. But y'all need to understand, these people were backsliding back then, and there was nothing that could be said to them to make them stop. They had to do it themselves, and they refused to do it. So I don't really know what else to tell you other than stop backsliding. Stop looking back. It's a choice. Right? Let's go to Luke chapter 9. We only got one more after that. I mean, you know, there's no quick fix. There's no quick fix. And that's another thing, too, y'all. They be looking for these quick fix. I need you to give me a one-time remedy to make sure I never do this stuff again. It doesn't work like that.
I think that'll be like a prayer to stop this prayer to stop backsliding, or this prayer to stop lusting, or this prayer to do whatever. It's like a special prayer, yeah.
Exactly. It doesn't work like that, y'all. I wish it did. If I had a quick fix remedy, I'd be selling the heck out of it. I'd be having y'all freebasing it. Gosh, I can't stop. I can't stop watching porn. Going to crunch up these pills. I don't want to watch porn. Porn what? Porn who? You know what I'm saying? I'll be selling it. I have y'all freebasing that thing. I'll be doing it, you know, if I could. That's why they be coming at me like I could just send them a pill. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no Viagra for being righteous, y'all. You follow what I'm saying? It ain't no quick little fix. Ain't nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? You got to put in that work. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling y'all that. This is Luke chapter 9. You just see some of the stuff people be asking me. And I can tell this. Let me tell y'all something. I don't get mad at children for asking childish questions. They're children. They're supposed to ask childish questions. And that's what most of the people will be in my DM asking. I haven't had too many grown people doing that. Most of the time it's the children. I understand that. They need to understand that there's no quick way to do this. There's no quick fix. You got to put work in. But boy, if I had a drug, oh boy. The next best thing, though, y'all know the opportunity I get. The next best thing, this book I'm about to drop, that's the closest thing I can get y'all to a fix. Y'all ever wonder why they call a drug addiction a fix? Anybody ever wondered that? Why is a drug addiction called a fix? What does it mean when you fix something? Look at the words you're using. You say, I need my fix. When's the only time you fix something, Gideon? Yep.
When it's broken.
When it's broken, right? So they say, I need my fix, but they're saying, I feel broken. And this fixes me. That's why they call it their fix. Look at the words we use. I told you, words have meaning. Right? They have meaning. That's how they feel. They feel like it's fixing them. Somebody say, I need my fix. Right? So I can't come up with no insta-fix for what y'all struggling with, but the closest I can get y'all to a fix is my book. That's the closest I can get y'all. You know what I'm saying? Snort up these words that you're going to be reading. Snort them up. Or as he told them in Jeremiah, eat the words. You follow what I'm saying? This is Luke chapter 9. Watch what Jesus says right here when he was telling people to follow him. Verses 59 to 62, Jeff. Go ahead and read.
Luke chapter 9, verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.
And remember, in another class, we showed that, man, Jesus was savage. That savage Jesus class where Jesus told this guy to follow him, and dude was like, my dad just died. Allow me to go bury him first. Then, you know, I'm right behind you. Watch what Jesus tells him. Go ahead and read.
Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God.
Jesus told that man, let the dead bury their dead. Let the spiritual dead bury the literal dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. That's pretty savage. Jesus didn't even care that dude's dad just died. But that's not even the point. Keep reading.
Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell. which are at my at home, at my house.
So another guy said, I'll follow you, but let me just go say goodbye to my people. Can I at least tell them that I'm leaving? Right? Watch what Jesus tells them.
Having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
And the plow means the work or the service you're doing as a Christian. But notice what he said. No man having put his hand to the plow, in other words, becoming a Christian, following Jesus, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling you that if you backslide, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. If you're looking back, once you put your hand to the plow, that means you in this. You work for Jesus now. You're a servant of Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. A Christian means a follower of Christ, but it also means a servant of Christ. And servants do work. And this is what this word plow is symbolizing, the work you do as a servant of Christ. But he said, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, that means you're starting to work, but you're looking back at your old life, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling y'all, if you backslide, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. If you're not fit for the kingdom of God, that means you're not getting in. And if you're not getting into the kingdom, where are you going? Hell. This is your Lord and Savior. God ain't never been playing about us backsliding, y'all. Your own Lord and Savior just told you that. But you got free grace and saying stuff like you can't backslide or backsliding don't matter. You're not fit for the kingdom of God if you do that. Ain't no looking back. That's what he's telling you. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? She looked back. Do y'all see this? Let's go to the last one. Let's go to 2 Peter. That's why you got to stay focused. Get away from these distractions. That's what I see 99.9% of the people who just pop up in here saying stuff. Y'all just a distraction. Don't nobody take y'all seriously. You are a bug on my windshield. What happens when you get a bug on your windshield while you're driving, Gideon, while you're driving that Tesla? You get a bug on your windshield. What do you do? You use that windshield cleaner. You hit that button to make that windshield cleaner. And then you turn on your windshield wipers. And you keep on driving, don't you?
Yes, sir.
That's what a lot of y'all are who come up here just blurting out stuff. Y'all just bugs on my windshield. And that's how a lot of people are going to try to be to you. You just let them be a bug on your windshield. Just keep driving. They ain't talking about nothing. They're just distractions. We got to stay focused. We got to stay looking ahead. Not looking to the left, not looking to the right, not looking back. Your own Lord and Savior said, don't look back. Because if you do that, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. That means you're not getting in. But this is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And then we're going to skip. Read that, please.
2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. For there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
And we already showed y'all that heresies, denominations, they're synonyms. So it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, among the ancient Israelites, even as there shall be false teachers among you, talking about the Christians of that day, and that's happening to us today too, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, meaning denominations. We proved that in the class that these words are synonyms, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Then they're going to bring upon themselves swift destruction. See, we've always had a problem with false prophets and false teachers, y'all. That's going on today. We'll read verse 2.
Verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
He said, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Meaning Peter is letting them know at this time in history, people were speaking evil about the truth. When they spoke the truth, Peter and the other apostles and other Christians, you had other fake Christians saying, no, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. But I just took y'all here to give y'all the context of what these false teachers did. Now watch what else it makes them do. Skip down and read verse 18 to 22. Look what these false teachers were leading them to do. Go ahead and read.
2 Peter 2:18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they abhor through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error.
Now look what it says. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, who? These false teachers. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through the desires of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. So you have people who were clean who escape from them that live who live in error. But watch what it says happens. Go ahead and read verse 19.
Verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage.
Look what it said. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption, these false teachers. They're promising you liberty, but they themselves are servants of corruption. But watch what else it said they did. For of whom a man is overcome, meaning if a man overcomes you, conquers you, of the same he is brought in bondage. A lot of people today are in bondage to false teachers. How do we know they overcame you? Because you study under them. You follow them. But watch what else it says. Go ahead and read.
Verse 20. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
Now look what it says. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, after you have been saved, right? They are again entangled therein, entangled therein in the what? The pollutions of the world, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So they got entangled into the polluted world again and was overcome by that polluted world. It says the latter is worse than the beginning. In other words, you worse than before you got saved. How can somebody say once saved, always saved, when Peter is telling you, like right here, if you go back, you're worse than you were before you got saved. And you were damned before you got saved. What's worse than being damned? Definitely damned. That's what's worse than that. Well, what is he going to liken this to? Go ahead and read.
2 Peter 2:21.
Mm-hmm.
For it has been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
Look what Peter is saying. For it has been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from, that's what backslide also means, to turn from, then to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. He said it's better that you never heard about it than to hear about it and turn from it. Read the last part, 22, and this is what Auntie Steph mentioned. Go ahead.
Verse 22, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
He said, but it is happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. I've seen dogs do this in real life. I've seen that it ain't nothing more disgusting than hearing and watching a dog throw up. It makes this weird just gross noise. I've seen dogs do that, and I've seen them eat the vomit. Dogs do that. They're very nasty. For all y'all that like to let y'all dog lick you on the lips and stuff. After he just got through licking his back and his behind. Then you turn around and let it lick you on the lips. Y'all be tripping. You follow what I'm saying? Right? I'm just saying. Something to think about. I'm practical. Right? You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't know what that tongue was 5 minutes. Some of y'all know what that tongue was 5 minutes ago. You know what I'm saying? It was just licking the sack. Now it's licking your lips. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm telling y'all the truth. This is the truth. It's the truth. I'm just, y'all don't seen dogs. They lick their penises. They be out there for a long time. I don't have a dog before. Don't come near me with your tongue, dog, if you don't been doing that. Right?
Right. And the thing, Josh, and I was just talking about this as far as the dogs, when they go out and defecate or whatever. Us as humans, you know, we got toilet paper, then we use the wipes, whatever.
Exactly.
And those dogs are still jumping all over us. They know my furniture and my bed. That's
exactly.
Crazy.
They be pinching one, and some people actually walk wipe their dogs behind. Y'all some dedicated pet owners. I'll get y'all that much.
Uh-huh.
Y'all are some dedicated pet owners. Yes, I ain't going to judge nobody. I just know that they're not me. You feel me? But y'all are some dedicated, devoted pet owners. But look what it says. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow, which is a female pig, that was washed after she done been washed off, to her wallowing in the mire, which means mud. So God likens us backsliding as a dog returning to his vomit, or a female pig that was washed clean, going back to wallow in the mud. And he said that your latter is worse than your beginning. See, all throughout this Bible, God gives severe consequences for backsliding, and that's what most of us do. That's what most Christians do. And they like downplay backsliding. Well, you know, I just fell back in the sin, you know. But that's not something you should be happy about. And if it's something you keep on doing, it's a choice. Even if you call it an addiction, it was a choice first. But the first thing, the only thing I can tell you for certain that'll help you get on that straight and narrow and look straight ahead is to stop looking back. If you don't look back, you won't backslide. It all starts with you looking back or thinking back. Like you're thinking back on something. So, sisters and brothers, I have shown you in this class that we are supposed to move forward, not backsliding. And if anybody is causing you to backslide, that means turn back, fall back, trip, slip, turn away from God. Then you need to separate yourself from them because they can drag you down. That's what people literally say, drag you down. You ever heard somebody say that before? They're dragging you down. We all walking around here. I'm a bad influence on Gideon. They say, Gideon, don't let Josh drag you down. Am I literally grabbing Gideon by his shirt and trying to pull him down to the ground with me? No. So why do we say drag you down? That means bring them down, make them fall. We even use words like this today. And there are people who will drag you down. They will trip you up and make you fall because they want you to be down with them. Look at the language we use. Hey, Gideon, you down with me, bro? Look at the words we use. Why do we talk like this? You know, we just be inserting little negativity. Yeah, man, we down. When did down become a good thing? Yo, man, we down. No, we're supposed to be up. The Bible says upright. The Bible describes Job as upright, not downright. But look at the language we use. Look at the words we use, especially in the black community. We don't even be thinking about that. You down with me? Oh, he holding it down. I'm going to hold you down, bro. That's all we be talking. Hey, Gideon, I'm going to hold you down, bro. Well, what do we mean when we say stuff like that? See, Satan even got us used. Now, I'm not saying that you can't talk like this. I'm not saying that you're sinning or something. But ain't y'all ever wondered how the words we use really mean the opposite of what we're saying? I'm not trying to hold Gideon down. I'm trying to lift him up. I'm trying to lift up Kevin. I'm not down with Gideon or Kevin or Jeff. I'm trying to rise with them. I'm trying to rise with my ABT people. You see how Satan do this. But what did God say in Isaiah? Woe to them that call good evil and evil good and sweet bitter and bitter sweet. That's what they were literally doing back then. They weren't slaying. They were literally reversing stuff. But what did Satan do? Satan done got into our terminology, and now bad means good. Like, you'd be like, man, that's a bad dude right there. But we say that means good, though. Dang, bro, that was cold. Cold supposed to mean bad. Like, you cold-hearted? Yeah, bro, that was cold. Do y'all remember when savage was a derogatory word for black people? Y'all some savages. Now everybody want to be savage. Oh, that was savage. You see how things work? See, I pay attention to words. Words have meaning. They have meaning. You know what I'm saying? So we're supposed to be forward, not backsliding. Stay focused. Don't let anybody distract you. And if they do, move ahead and don't ever look back in their direction. We'll be back after these brief announcements. And look at somebody say in the chat, he on demon time. That's positive. Being like a demon is positive. and we can go on and on. You know what I'm saying? We can go on and on. You know what I'm saying? Right? But first of all, we'd like to thank everybody for coming out today. We have Bible study, Sabbath class, every Saturday. We go on Clubhouse at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to come on Clubhouse and listen to some nice music before the class starts for about 30 minutes, just come on Clubhouse. We play some nice music for about 30 minutes, and then the actual class starts here on Discord, YouTube, and sometimes Rumble, if GDR feel like it, at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You follow what I'm saying? So the actual class, a lot of y'all know this, starts around 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If anybody is interested in making a donation, if you just feel blessed by what you're hearing and would like to show some support, you can do so one of two ways. My mods will be posting this information in the chat. The first way you can donate is through PayPal using our email address, meaning you can email me at this address if you got any questions about anything. That address is absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. That's absolutebibletruth, VA@yahoo.com. In other words, you don't spell out the word for, you have to type before. So it's absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. And, of course, the other way you can donate is where most people donate, and that's through Cash App, using the Cash App tag, which is $ABTM, again, that's $ABTM. And if anybody is wondering, that just stands for Absolute Bible Truth Ministries. At this time, we're going to have some brief announcements from Ariel. Yes, I found him, bringing him up right now, a.k.a. the Prince of Positivity. He's going to give you a brief summary of what we learned today and any other announcements he may have. Go ahead, Ariel.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You are loud and clear.
Jumped on me. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
me too, though. I think it went outside for a couple seconds. But anyways, all praise to the Most High. First of all, we want to give all glory, all praise, and all honor to the Most High for allowing us to be here. We want to thank everybody in Clubhouse for coming. I want to thank everybody on Discord for coming. And today, I'm going to get into the summary, then we're going to do some announcements. So today, we learned to look forward and not backslide. And this class was super cool because I didn't even know the Bible spoke about backsliding so much. Now that we got all of these scriptures, all of this information, we can actually share it with people about what the Bible says about backsliding, because a lot of people they're not really cognizant of the fact that they're backsliding. They're not cognizant of the fact that that friend group that they are with, that they left, now they're going back to hang out with them, right? They're not aware that they stopped watching those negative shows, stopped listening to that negative music, and then they went back and started listening to the negative shows and started watching the negative music, and they are unaware of these trends. They are unaware of the patterns. They are unaware that they're backsliding. And what verse that I think stood out to me the most was Jeremiah 5, where they talked about the wicked and they talked about how Israel kept backsliding. They kept wanting to go back to Egypt, right? Like when you're in a bad relationship, you keep thinking about that person who was abusing you in that bad relationship. When you was at that job and they wasn't treating you right, you keep thinking about how that job was so convenient, it was close to your house, and you want to go back to that job, even though they wasn't treating you right, even though they wasn't paying you enough, you still feel somewhere in your spirit that you want to go back to that job. You want to go back to that person. You want to go back to smoking weed, even though you healthier, you happier, you thinking clearer, but your flesh is just tempting you to keep going back to weed. You done cut the porn out. You done cut out the temptation and the lust. But now your friend is talking about it. Now you're seeing naked girls or half-naked women on Instagram, and now you're getting tempted, and now you want to go back, and you want to backslide, and you want to give in to those things that you already defeated, that you already gave up, that you left in your past, right? Understand this. This is powerful. Lot's wife, all she did was turn around, y'all. All she did was turn around, and then she was turned into a pillar of salt. Don't look into your past. Don't look back. Don't turn around. Keep your eyes forward. Keep on the steady ground. Keep on the straight and narrow path. Because if you look back, if you turn back, you can also, too, be turned into a pillar of salt. So that is the closing statements, the summary of today's class. Look forward and not backwards, right, or you will backslide. And we don't have too many announcements today, but we just wanted to let y'all know that we are trying to put something together for Passover here in Georgia. So, again, save what you can. Start putting together a budget about if you want to fly down, if you want to drive down, if you want to come for the Passover. We will be doing some food. We will be doing a lesson, and we will be doing a meet and greet, you know, Brother Josh and myself and all of the other ABT family and ABT family on Discord who comes and wants to join in. And the Passover will be April 22nd. I got to figure out which date it is, though, because I think April 22nd falls on a Monday.
Yeah.
So I think me and Josh got to get together, and we might do something that Friday, which is probably going to be the 29th. But I think we're going to do a lesson definitely on Monday. But I think we might do a meet and greet, food gathering, and all that stuff that coming Friday. So I'm going to get with Brother Josh, and we're going to figure that out. And I have to go. I got an emergency call. So that is the summary. Brother Josh, is back to you.
Appreciate that, Ariel. Appreciate that. I always love the way you can summarize all of this stuff up that I talk about in 3 minutes or less. And also appreciate the announcement. And, yes, we do have the Passover coming up. And, yes, there will be a class on that Monday. And we'll get together about the meet and greet on that Friday. We also got to get with you about some stuff too, Gideon. And right now we're about to do the Q&A, but y'all know how I do it before I jump to the Q&A. First, I got to, you know, ask for people on stage, starting with my reader. Jeff, Brother Jeff, anything you want to add about today's class?
Yeah, I'm going to be real brief before I pass it off to the heavy hitters. I like all your classes, of course, but this is one of my favorites, and I was really glad to read for this one. I'm most high working with you, man, the way you brought out Psalm 73, and I have a whole different look on Lot's wife, man. That was powerful, man. I like, again, and we always say this, man, but you can never say it enough, these self-improvement classes, man, especially in the world we live in today. We need these more often, man. I wish we could do the double classes like we did back in the day, man.
Oh.
We are free.
Oh.
But it was a great class, man. I'm glad to be part of this one. You guys, y'all be careful out there, man. Stay prayed up, and God willing, I'll be with y'all back next Saturday. Peace.
Praise God, Jeff. Always a pleasure to have you read for me, big bro. You know what I'm saying? And just your general spirit, your disposition, man. You have a nice spirit, a comforting spirit. You know what I'm saying? He's a guy like a big brother to me. Always a pleasure to have him around. I've been knowing him for about 10 years with you too, Jeff. You've been about 10 years too. You follow what I'm saying? And of course,
More than that.
Oh, yeah, it has. And I remember when y'all were just...
2009 or something like that, way back.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe 2000, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's like 14. That's like 14 years.
Yeah.
And I still remember.
Wow,
I still remember how you first tried to reach out. I felt so bad. I remember he met me on Pal Talk. And he was trying to get in the Pal Talk room, and this brother was turning on his video, and he know what he was doing, right? And I remember what made me feel so bad. I almost cried, y'all, because he didn't know he was even turning on his – I didn't even know you can even turn on your camera on some Pal Talk. And he was just trying to suck everything to get into the room. And I remember seeing him turn his camera on and trying to get in the room and just the look of frustration and sadness in his face, and that just hurt me. So bad. Y'all have no idea how bad that hurt me. But he came back the next week, praise God, and he got everything situated, figured out what he was doing, and he been with us ever since. But I remember when he first reached out to me, he was like, bro, I want to come to y'all class. I want to be there. And he was trying, and I couldn't help him. I ain't know what to do. So I'll never forget that, and I was just like, I remember at one point, and I've been demonstrating on camera, GDL, he just did something like that. He just said, he just kind of shook his head and just turned off, and he was just, I was like, I feel so bad. I felt so bad, man. I almost wanted to cry, man. I'm like, man, this brother want to learn with me, can't even get at me. But praise God for you, bro. You know, I love you. Always glad that, you know, the Most High sent you in my direction. Always happy to hear from you. And then we got, no doubt. And then we got Kevin J. Kevin J., anything you want to add? If you're there, Kevin J., if you're trying to talk, you're muted. There you go. We can't hear you, though, bro. If you're trying to say anything, we can't hear you. So this is just me. Kevin J.?
Can you hear?
There you go. There you go, bro. Mm-hmm.
Hello.
We hear you.
It was a great class. I'm along the same lines as Brother Chuck D. with the voice of power there. It's an old public enemy joke between me and him. I love his voice when he reads for you, man. He always brings the bass.